The following is a presentation of Team Glory Sports.
This week on Friday Night Football in North Georgia, it's the last game of the regular season as the Region 6 AAA champion North Hall Trojans close out the regular season home against the Dawson County Tigers. It's become a great rivalry when you go across the county line there from North Hall in to Dawson County, and we've seen how these two teams have been so competitive in the last few years. For Dawson County, they're playing for their playoff lives tonight because they know they have to win to be in the state playoffs. For North Hall, they want to end the season proving that they are the true region champions, and they'll be the number one team out of this region going into the state playoffs coming up on November the 15th. It's Dawson County and North Hall live in the Brickyard at Lynn Cottrell Stadium, and it's time for the Longstreet Cafe pregame show. It's time to kick it off now.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ Radio presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Welcome to the countdown to kickoff of tonight's game with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show. Let's go to the field for tonight's game on 97.5 Glory FM.
After starting out in the springtime and then with the regular season starting in early August, here we are, the first day of November, getting ready to wrap up the high school football regular season as North Hall takes on Dawson County in a big neighborhood matchup. Along with Gary Glenn and Joe Gailey, Mike Warford with you here from home at the Brickyard at Lynn Cottrell Stadium. And it's always a special time when you see senior night, and you and I have seen so many of these young men grow up here at North Hall, and here they are playing their final regular season game.
Yep, they've got a handful tonight. We'll recognize them during the game, and they recognize they got the football team already went, then they got the cheerleaders and the band going now. Recognize all the seniors tonight in all three of the locations here. It's always a big time. We get to see several homecomings and a couple of senior nights throughout the season. It's a special time. You remember yours as a player.
Sure.
I remember mine as a manager with basketball. And it's a big night. You're kind of emotional because you know it's your last could be. Now, in this case, North Hall will be back here again. But, sometimes it could be your last home game ever as dressing out as a Trojan.
Well, we were talking to Jody Kinney before our broadcast started. You'll hear Jody during the final score this evening once again recapping a nice ball game with me. It's like last time the Trojans were here at home in the state playoffs was back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And you go back to the 2012 region championship team when they played here. Also the 2007 special team they had here at North Hall back in the day. And it's something here at 1330 and now 97.5 Glory FM. We broadcast the first playoff game in Dawson County history back in 1989, and we have broadcast every state playoff game in North Hall history dating back to their first game back in 2002. They played over in Cedartown, and we have seen the Trojans be so successful when they play here at home, Joe, in the state playoffs, and it is difficult to understand the playoff situation. We know that North Hall is going to be here at home in 2 weeks against one of the weaker teams, maybe a number four team, maybe even a number five team in the region coming up in the first round of the state playoffs, you think would be a win, and they'll be back here another week playing at home. So they played last week at home, tonight at home, and the next two times they could be here at home, which is really a big advantage for North Hall.
Well, the Brickyard has been a big advantage in my mind ever since Harold Daniels here as AD and basically built the Brickyard and have it what it is today, and have the Bob up on the hill with Coach Christmas with the new weight room and dressing room for the Trojans. You know, the old field house that you and I remember is for the visitors and that kind of stuff. And it's just a special place here. It's all compact, kind of landlocked, but it's really nice. And the folks that I talk to that aren't from North Hall will come in and say, boy, it's a nice field they got at North Hall. And it is. It's nice. It's homey, if you will. Compact and just feel it's a special place.
Yeah, compact. You asked him Maxwell about the other side of the field there.
Exactly.
Not much room over there.
Exactly.
And
right.
He said, Mike, I've been here before. I know what's going on. And it's amazing how these two teams play each other so tough, Joe.
They have.
And you're at Tiger Stadium right here.
Yeah, and they're Gary and I are going to admit that the series is tied 5-5. North Hall won last year at Dawson County. And, I know Coach Maxwell said he's got a young team. He's got all this. When North Hall's built, thing, Coach Pender, over the last couple of years. He's got a good team there. You know, the region champion, 6-0, 7-2 overall. And he's really done a good job, Coach Pender has. Coach Maxwell's done a good job with the young team. They're 3-4 in the region, 4-5 overall. Point-wise, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but their average overall for the total, you know, is 0.6 points per game difference between offense and defense for Dawson County. So that tells you, you know, how young they are, because they don't have an overwhelming offense or overwhelming defense.
I always say their record is deceiving, Joe. Forget about the non-region part of their schedule. Mm-hmm. They play one of the most difficult non-region schedules anywhere to get you ready for region, and here they are in that point now, again, fighting for their playoff lives. That game last week hurt them. They were up at halftime over Lumpkin County, and then it was the Indians coming back in the second half to win that ball game, 38-14. North Hall coming up that win that won them the region championship last week, defeating Johnson here by a final score of 56-7. And we mentioned they're getting ready for this game. Is that North Hall, they want to prove that they are the region champions ahead above everybody else, because there's all kind of implications we've talked about here during the Long Street Cafe pregame show. There's like 8 different playoff scenarios. We try to bring you all those, the teams we're covering this evening around the area, to see who has a chance of making it into the state playoffs, which begin on November 15th. We'll tell you why they don't begin next week. Coming up next, we continue here, counting down the kickoff of Dawson County and North Hall, the Long Street Cafe pregame show here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Long Street Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Long Street Cafe with 2 Gainesville locations.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model, with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings, and one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's always surprising me, Joe, the number of people that participate in senior night. Back in our day, especially we had 17 players on the team, we didn't have many that are walking out. It was just football. Now they do everything, it seems.
They got football. Everything that's going on this fall, they've got football going on, then they have the band, they got the cheerleaders, and now they've got the competition cheerleaders who are out there now, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those. So it's because you got regular cheerleaders and you got competition cheerleaders. When you and I were in school, you had cheerleaders.
Absolutely.
And you had 9 to 12, and it was the same girls all year round. So
absolutely.
You know, now you've got a different group for everything, which is cool. More kids are involved, and that's really, really a good thing in my mind.
The competition people are more like gymnasts than they are
exactly,
cheerleaders.
Exactly, Gary. Exactly. They have to
and
be.
I'm not sure in 1971 we even had a senior night. We just showed up and played football, man.
Well, when you talk about the upcoming playoffs, next week there's not a game being played. It will be broadcast. We'll take the night off next Friday because is that the Georgia High School Association extended the regular season by a week due to Hurricane Helene. And there are some schools, especially that could affect North Hall in the upcoming playoff rounds, the schools in Augusta are playing three games between now and next Saturday.
Wow.
They're playing tonight, I understand, next Wednesday, and then next Saturday. And we still will not know who's playing whom until probably Sunday the 10th.
Yeah, that because some of them got – they didn't miss one game. Okay, so they missed two or three. So they're really playing catch-up down there now. And it's just one of those things. You've got a bad case, you can't help it. So you're doing what you can do to catch everybody up.
You know, you two guys played. I never played. I was on the sideline handing water to guys. And, you know, one game a week is bad enough on the body, but can you imagine two to three games in a week's time?
Well, football's not basketball. It's not baseball. You don't play football every day because it takes you long to recover from that. It literally, you know, football's not a contact sport. Football is a collision sport.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, you got a lot of sports that are contact sports, things like football and hockey and, you know, martial arts. Those are collision sports. You hit people, and on purpose.
Well, what's really changed here in 2024 with the Georgia High School Association is the postseason playoffs in AAA, AA, and Single A. And for Northall, they know they'll be at home on November 15th as one of the top eight teams. Talking with Jody Kinney, probably they're going to be number six, maybe number seven, more likely number six overall in the state playoffs. And then you look at a team like Dawson County, still fine to get into. There are eight different playoff scenarios. We could have five teams tying for second place behind Northall, and then we could have a clear cut. Right now, the driver's seat would be Lumpkin County as number two, and then you could have, right now it looks like GAC could be three, but they will not play in the postseason in the GHSA with the public schools. They'll play their own playoff with the private schools, A, AA, and AAA, which means that Region 6 AAA is going to lose a team in the state playoffs if GAC ends up as one of the top four teams in this region. And they can still drop out of the top four, but if they finish in the top four, there's only going to be three public schools in Region 6 AAA making it into the state playoffs.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough – I mean, like, I think, you know, Northall and Lumpkin can win tonight, and Chesterfield will be in. Chesapeake can win if they can be in, if they beat GAC and one of the other two teams win. So it's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts of this, Gary, that you got to wait on. Looks like we're fixing to do the national anthem now, Mike.
All right, well, we do. We'll take another timeout. Back and more from the Brickyard here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe.
Mary, did you know Longstreet Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time.
Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics Transportation Professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Clint Fair, the North Georgia Director with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, here on 97.5 Glory FM Friday Night Football. If you could, please join us as we pray to kick off this Friday night. Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for who you are. God, help us tonight, God, to look to you in all things. Thank you for the tools and the gifts that you've blessed these coaches and athletes with as they perform all across North Georgia, competing in this great game of football. God, watch over, protect them. God, help us to live for you. Help them to live for you. God, we thank you for radio stations like 97.5, Glory FM. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, we love you. Again, watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5, Glory FM.
And back here at North Hall with Gary, Joe, and Mike, had a great tribute to the late William E.G. Taylor, former football coach and principal here at North Hall, who passed away just the other day. His funeral was held yesterday, and his wife, Myra, who was a longtime librarian, and his son, Richie, are here. And the Taylors are right across the street here from the school. A lot of people used to use their front yards of parking for this ballpark. You remember, Joe?
Now, I do remember that for sure. Richie was a year or two older than me, and Shane's a year or two younger than me. So I remember the whole Taylor family. My aunt Ann worked in the library with Myra for a long time as the assistant librarian here at North Hall.
Glad to see her here as we get ready for this ball game. Joe, time for starting lineups.
Starting lineups first for the offensive side of North Hall. On the line, you've got 59 Thomas Green, 71 Henry Weaver, 77 Eli Ham, 73 Kate Hawthorne, 75 Mason McGill, tight end, 88 Dawson Gray. Receivers, number 1 Cole Cable, number 3 Ty Kemp, number 9 Ethan Crofton, number 21 McKinley Kemp. Quarterback tonight will be Smith McGarvey. Running backs will rotate between Parker Carlton and Luke Jenkins. Defensive side of football for Dawson County, the Tigers tonight will have on the defensive line Eli Odom, number 67, Brody Easton, number 23, and Hunter Stroop, number 54. Then we're on the backside, we'll have number 44, Tripp Firstino, 46, Zach Cruz, 48, Owen Wooten, and 34, Nate Grizzle. The defensive backs will be 0, Jackson Rickett, number 4, Jaden Maddie, 18, Jacob Falky, and number 8, Preston Bannister. On the other side of the football, offensively for Dawson County, on the offensive line, you have a tackle, number 75, Colton Land, 51, Keith Daniel, 67, Eli Odom, 55, Josh Baguette, 71, Nathan Martin. Receivers will be 2, Chad Burnett, 7, Dylan Edwards, and 11, Eli Phillips. The quarterback will swap between Gunner Weaver, number 5, and number 8, Preston Bannister. The tailback will be 24, Cody McBrayer, and halfback will be 6, Davis Glass. Defensively for the Trojans, you'll have number 50, Robbie Lee, 35, Tanner White, 0, Charlie House, 34, Matthew Arceo, and 95, Dawson Reed. Across the line, and the linebackers will be 12, Parker Carlton, 44, Dalton Hulsey, 28, Buddy Clark. The defensive backs will rotate between 11, Charlie Dyer, 19, Jake Clark, 14, Wade Haynes, 17, Walker Davis, and 5, Connor Harwood. And those are your projected starters for both teams, Mike.
Again, the coaches for North Hall, Sean Pinder, in his third season at North Hall. Longtime coach at Dawson County, our friend Sid Maxwell, who you hear on Game Plan every Friday here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Gary, real quick, looking at the offensive and defensive stats for both teams, you know, North Hall is averaging about 6 or 7 more points a game and giving up 3 less points a game as far as defensively for Dawson County. So I think it's going to be a pretty even match game. North Hall offensively is a little bit better. Defensively about the same.
Yeah, and in the losses, Dawson County has given up a ton of points in their 5 losses, almost 34 a game. Now, they only surrendered 7 a game in the wins. So which Dawson County defense is going to show up tonight might be a big key to this game. They've been playing one another since 2012. And as you said, it's dead even at five apiece here. Roeth Hall right now on a seven-game winning streak, playing some of the best ball in the state right now, and they're averaging about 35 a game, Joe. So if they can hang a bunch of points on you, and you really got to tip your hat to the way Smith McGarvey has come on when Alex Schliemann went down. You know, they were doing that dual quarterback thing, and McGarvey and the beatdown of Johnson last week, he was perfect, 9 for 9 passing.
Yeah.
And about 140 yards and wound up scoring 4 touchdowns. Cole Cable was on the receiving end of 6 receptions for 94 yards and a single game school record of 3 touchdowns receiving. But they can run the ball too. You mentioned Jenkins. You got R.J. Dalton. You got other people, and they got a bunch of people that fly to the ball. One thing about Norm Hall is, you know, they gang tackle you on defense. I'm looking at Buddy Clark, Michael Donatelli, McKinley Kemp, Robbie Lee, Dawson Reed. They all had tackles. Some had a quarterback pressure, a couple of sacks. So these people can get after you. So, and Norm Hall's got something to play for. You know, the top eight, the region champions are guaranteed a seed in the top eight in the playoffs. And then after that, it just depends on how some of the rest of the factors. And I've even heard things about now you got to, if you can't just win, you got to win by a certain amount of points to enhance your seeding and that thing. So it's, now they've turned out the lights here. That's interesting.
Yeah, they probably got some special thing going on tonight. Who knows? I know some turn them out there. They turn them back on. So.
I don't know what that was.
Hey, let me be in charge of the light switch. That'll be interesting.
Okay, so it's, you know, it's a rivalry game. A lot of things can happen. North Hall is going to have to be heavily favored at the Brickyard because they're still playing to let people know they belong in the postseason and they're worthy of a high seed.
Yep, exactly right. And, you know, you start out, you lose your first couple of games early in the season, Mike. Then, you know, you're on a seven-game win streak trying to go 8 in a row. That's a pretty big deal for any team, but especially for North Hall.
No doubt about it. We mentioned, too, there could be another team, Gary, in the top eight out of Hall County. Cherokee Bluff could be the number two team out of Region AAA if Jefferson wins tonight's game with Oconee County. And it would be if Cherokee Bluff defeats East Hall, the Bears would be the number two team. It would be the highest seeded power ranking number two team in the state. They'd be good for the number eight spot because of Calvary Day, which is one of the region down in Savannah. They are not eligible to play in the tournament, of course, so they would lose that spot. So Bluff would move up. They would get a home game coming up on November 15th.
Gary's going to be down with officials with a coin flip right now.
Let's see how that works out there on midfield here at the Brickyard.
All right, we got a little bit of a dead zone occasionally here at the Brickyard, but got the officials up there too, Joe, and the captains.
Yep, I'll give you officials after this.
Got questions during the game? Come let us know. We'll answer it for you, okay?
Sir.
Other than that, you're going to play like you've been taught with good sportsmanship. Okay, stop on the whistle, help somebody up, get the ball to me or Avery so we can spot it and you can play more. Any questions?
Yes, sir. Do the home team
call you black? Visiting team will call you white. Let Avery know what you're going to call, heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails?
Tails. You won the toss. We won't defer.
So Dawson County is what they're going to defer.
Yep,
Dawson County won it.
They won it. They'll defer. Your official tonight, referees Mark Staten, umpires my old buddy Avery Niles, the headline judge Reese Smith, line judge Brian Stradley, field judge Mitchell Jones, side judge Garrett Hart, back judge Dylan Laurie, the ECO Jeff Eichler, and the PCO Thomas Achilles. Michael?
All right, get ready. The kickoff of high school football, 97.5 Glory FM, comes up after this.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with 2 Gainesville locations.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins, your representative to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia.
Tonight's game is brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, North Hall Tire and Wheel, Representative Lee Hawkins, and by Millie's Drapery and Decorating. It's time for the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ.
At the railings down.
And we're at the Brickyard at North Hall High School in Gainesville. North Hall will receive Dawson County with kickoff. And to bring you the play-by-play here on 97.5 Glory FM is Joe Gailey.
Thank you, Mike. Get the picture, folks. Dawson County all in white. White tops, white bottoms.
Thank you.
Maroon with gold trim, white headgear. North Hall all in black. Top to bottom headgear, tops, bottoms, white jerseys.
Jacob Falkai has it teed up.
Falkai is going to kicker and back deep. Is Cable and Jenkins for the Trojans. High kick end over end, going to come down the far side over there to number two. That's Jenkins. Jenkins across the 10, the 15, the 20, 25, 30, 35, across the 40. He's got a lane, the 50, the 45, the 40. He's going to get run out of bounds around the 34-yard line of Dawson County to start it out right there, Gary.
Yeah, and I think he had a hold of the guy that ran him out, a kicker. Jacob Falk, I think he had hold of his face mask and went out. And they got a little chippy on the sidelines already on the first play of the game.
First play of the game. And, Falk wasn't very happy. He took the green kicking team and slung it back over there wanting the manager to come get it. He said, I don't like that, so you come get that. Smith McGarvey with number 12, Parker Carlton behind him. Four wideouts to start the game. It'll be on the 34-yard line after a long return for North Hall. On the 34 of Dawson County, McGarvey looks over his offense, takes the snap from Eli Hamm. The left-hander throwing it long. Oh, first down. Got his man. Down to the one. How about that? Right off the chute, Cole Cable catches and falls at the one.
We told you what a great game he had last week. And, man, McGarvey, that left-handed spin, just flung it right down there. Cable went up and got it. I thought for a minute he'd fallen into the end zone. That was a 33-yard pass.
He bounced about the half-yard line, and so that kept him from being in the end zone for about another 6 inches. He would have fell across the white line down there, Gary.
Actually, it's about the half-yard line,
yep.
Joe.
Yep, he's about a foot outside the white goal line. Cable's in motion from one side to the other with backs back there. You got Jenkins on one side. Carlton on the other. Give off to Parker on the second play from scrimmage. Bust through for a touchdown. North Hall leads it with 11:04 left.
1 yard. Trojan.
Well, you go back to pass play to Cable. Coach Maxwell told me after what happened in the second half last week when you had Cal Faulkner, who was about 6 inches taller than the other defenders from Dawson, he said he just eat him up. He said he thought he could handle Cable because of his height about the same as Dawson County. But a great pass play there to start things off, and an easy run for Carlton. The Trojans are up by a touchdown.
Walker Vining, no, that's Blade Carmona in for the extra point. It's been splitting time between him and Walker Vining. McGarvey will hold. Carmona will be the extra point attempt. Good rush that time. Carmona barely got it over the crossbar, but it's good. 7-0 Trojans with 11:04 left in the first.
And we're back with more here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Thank you, North Hall. This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
If you need on-time, expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
Fumbled and jumped on.
Walker Vining kicks it and hits it short. It's going to hit about the 25. One of the up men hits right in front of him, bounced up, and he falls on it. One of the upbacks. Was that number 51, I think, that did that? So that would have been Keith Daniel.
Jackson Rickett recovers the...
Jackson Rickett recovered the kick. The ball will be placed at the 27-yard line, first and 10 for Dawson County. The Tigers will take over. You'll have Preston Bannister as the quarterback.
It bounced out in front of him, Joe, and Rickett had to corral it and jump on him. It was squirting around there.
Excuse me, that Gunner Weaver at quarterback. Gunner's in there. You got guy running back in there. That's McBrayer. They're going to throw it right over the top. Incomplete. One North Hall defender, Walker Davis, fell down. The intended Gunner receiver over there, Eli Phillips. Dylan Edwards, intended receiver.
Dyer,
he didn't want to step on the man, so he just kind of stepped over him, and it was incomplete, threw a little short.
Yeah, we're bumping each other over there. They both kind of had a little contact, but no call. I think that's a good no call. Second and 10.
Cherokee Bluff up on East Hall early, 7-0 also. Second down, 10 yards to go from the 27-yard line of Dawson County. Three wideouts. Looking at Reston's going to run. One man wrapping up in the backfield. Big number 44, Dalton Hulsey, drops him for a 2-yard loss.
Yeah, junior linebacker. Chased him down, grabbed him behind the line. Tackle for a loss. Brings up third and 12, and the Tigers are already playing behind the chains.
Joe, you'll notice that Dawson County like to mix up their pass and run.
Yep. And the email that I got today from the offensive coordinator, they said Bannister would play a little bit everywhere. Well, he's a starting quarterback. Gunner Weaver has also been in at quarterback this year. They've got four wideouts, three on the far side. Bannister rolls out to the far side, looking, throws it. Going to be maybe short about a yard, of the about 2 yards is where they're going to spot it. Number eight over there, it looked like. Or it might have been number two, Chip Burnett. No, it was Preston Bannister.
Yeah, I don't know why they get away with these narrow numbers. And zeros look like ones or eights or something. It's hard to see what they are, but going to be well shy, about two and a half yards. So it's the Tigers in a punting situation with the ball at their own 35.
Get eight on the first down. The kicker's going to kick it. That's going to be Bannister. Left footer hits it. Going to come down to Luke. Luke gets it at the 26, trying to get away from man. Now, excuse me, that's number three down there. That's going to be Kemp, Ty Kemp, and they wrestle him down. We've got number seven in there, Dylan Edwards, in on the stop for Dawson County.
Kemp had a punt return for a touchdown against Johnson last week. He looked like he was going to find some room to run right then, but they corralled him and tracked him down.
The first down and 10, 9:25 now left in the first quarter.
Since I know your entire name, you can probably
guess what it is. North Hall with a 7-0 lead.
It's about a 39-yard punt right there, Joe, with a yard or two return.
McGarvey in at quarterback, three wideouts all on the far side. Now one man's in motion. Now we've got a flag, probably got some motion. As the white hat threw the flag in the illegal procedure on the Trojans, it'll back them up 5 yards.
That's the one thing they do not need, Joe, especially when it goes to the playoffs in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Got to cut down on the penalties. A couple weeks ago, they won, but they had like 12 penalties. And then last week, they cut down on them. I think they had half that with 5 or 6. So, you know they want to cut down on that mess for sure. First down and 15, ball's placed at the 22-yard line. Got to get out to the 37. Receivers flip-flopping sides, double backs, one on each side of McGarvey. He's going to hand it off this time to Carlos Jenkins. Jenkins, 30, 35, 40. That's a foot race. He might win it. A man coming up behind him. 30, 20, 10, 5. They're going to hit him. The ball comes loose. North Hall, I think, falls on it. No. In the end zone. Touchdown, Trojans. Wow. One of the backs. One of the guys had recovered in the end zone.
Luke Jenkins goes.
A desperation. Chump at the very last second knocks the ball loose, but the Trojans recover. I didn't, Joe, that about the time that they stood up, they turned the lights out. Was it number 12 that jumped on the top?
Yeah, they're saying, giving high five over to Mason McGill, the big lineman. I don't know if he recovered it or Parker Carlton recovered it. Either way, it's a touchdown for the Trojans. The extra point is just across the crossbar. The 14-0 Trojans with 9:05 left in the first quarter.
And we're back with more after this 1-minute timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. The new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson EMC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these.
Walker, Vining, kicks it short. It bounces off a receiver down here from Dawson County right into another Dawson County player's hands. Number two recovered it. That's Chatham Burnett.
Recovered by number two, Chatham Burnett.
One of the upbacks, a hit off a player at the 20 and bounced forward to about the 24. Burnett fell on it right there. That could have been a catastrophe for Dawson County right there off the bat, Gary.
Yeah, and Dawson County looks completely out of sync. Their defense is the defensive breakdown. I mean, Jenkins takes off. What would that wind up being? 78 yards?
Yep.
78 yards, and he fumbles into the end zone, and somebody recovered. We'll find out who did it later. And then they fumble the kickoff. They need to settle down.
Got to hold on to the football. It's almost like it was rainy or something. I know it's a little cool, and it's misty drizzled all day, but 9 minutes and a second left here in the quarter. Flag coming from the back. Just time. Delay of game on Dawson County. Wow.
Well, now, see, and you give up a long run, it winds up being a touchdown, although you made a great play to strip the ball. It still doesn't go your way, and then you fumble the next kickoff, and then you have a delay of game getting yourself together. Again, they are all out of sync right now. The Tigers need to re-regulate, otherwise North Hall is going to rout them.
Let's give you an example. North Hall's had three plays, two touchdowns. The Tigers have had three plays and a punt.
Hand off this time to the backup back there, number 24, Cody McBrayer, and it's going to be tackled for maybe a half a yard gain there out of bounds.
Yeah, Charlie House, one of the seniors, honored at senior night. Clark Carlton, the junior, knocking him out of bounds right here. And again, the Tigers are playing from behind the chains. Second and almost 14.
Oh, he lost 14. Okay, I thought it was only about a yard, but you 14 yard. Wow.
Yeah, we
second
lost a yard.
14.
Right, you gained a yard there too.
That's a gained a yard. Okay, my bad. We had the penalty in there. Three wideouts far side for Dawson County. Weaver takes it, looks over to the far side. Caught and slung out of bounds over on the far side. Wow. Number Walker Davis threw the guy out of bounds over there for Dawson County. Look to be number eight, Preston Bannister on the receiver. Got about nine of those right there, so it's going to be third down about five for Dawson County.
It looks like right now they're going to rely on Preston to do the receiving from Weaver.
8 minutes exactly here in the quarter. North Hall with a two-touchdown lead. Weaver back with one running back. Back there with him, looking to pass right over the middle to Bannister. Bannister got it for the first down, wrestled down by Walker Davis at the 37, 38-yard line. First down for the Tigers.
Yeah, Jake Clark hit him first, then Walker Davis came in to finish him off. Walker, 6'2", 170. Plays pretty good. They split the seam that time, Joe. Split the coverage and threw it right between them.
They're playing some defense.
7:27 now. Dawson County with their first down of the night. Up to the 38-yard line of Dawson County. Weaver. Three wide outs stacked on top of each other on the far side. Weaver going to take it himself. Comes around this side. Got hit initially up there by number 19 for North Hall, Jake Clark. And then Charlie House comes up, finishes him off after about a yard gain.
Yeah, Charlie jumped Tony's back and rode him hard to the turf. He was going down, but Charlie wanted to make sure he stayed down.
Yep.
Charlie will find the ball.
Ball halt.
Second down,
9 yards to go. Almost half the quarter gone now. 6:45 left here in the first quarter. Weaver brings him up. He's back in his shotgun. One man, McBrayer off to his right. Puts Davis Glass in motion. looking to roll out to the far side. Charlie House comes at him. Complete over here to Chad Burnett. Read perfectly by the Trojans. Buddy, Jake Clark in there, and they tackle Chad Burnett.
And Connor Harwood, all 5'8" of him, also in on that stop. He threw back against the grain that time, Joe, and it was a low snap, and it took him a while to get the play set up and going. And by that time, the Norhall defense had time to track down his receiver.
Got about a yard out of it. Third down and 8 now. 6 minutes exactly left here in the first quarter. Norhall up 14-0. Dawson County, the near side hash mark at the 43 wideouts. Weaver with McBrayer on his right. Weaver to throw right over the middle. Got a man, kind of threw it behind him, but I think he caught it.
Incomplete. He trapped it.
Yeah. It was over at number 8 was the intended receiver, Preston Bannister. And a little action on top there. After he caught it, he kind of pushed on him to get up. The North Hall defender did.
Well, what has happened here is North Hall is smelling blood right now, and it's 4th and long.
Yep. Exactly right.
And the defense looked almost like a 6-man front that time, Joe. They were going to try to pressure the quarterback. He got the pass away, but it was low and trapped.
Preston Bannister to kick it now. They put wideouts everywhere, but I'm sure he's going to kick it that 4th and 8. Now we got a flag and have some guy illegal procedure on Dawson County. That'll back them up, put them behind the 6, make them 4th and 13 now after that procedure penalty.
So the new line of scrimmage is going to be the 35 of the Tigers. Yeah, they lined up, and then all of a sudden everybody shifted like they were going to run some kind of a student body go long.
Ty Kemp back to receive the punt.
Give him some time out there. Give him some time. We take it to the house.
You're here on Gary's mic. Tell him to give him some time.
Take it to the house.
Bannister in there. Oh, got a little pressure here. High punt. Get away from it, says Mr. Kemp. He hit off of Dawson County and now down it at the 34-yard line.
Let's go.
Big number 54 down it right there. Hunter Stroop for Dawson County.
That was a good coverage by the Tigers that time. Did not give him a chance to get off a return.
Not quite a 30-yard punt, but I tell you what, Joseph, you and I know well enough, you can't trash talk too much. We'll come back and bite you.
That's exactly right. He'll come back and get you in a hurry.
29-yard punt, no return.
Jefferson over Oconee County, early 7-0. All right. Smith McGarvey with a man in motion. They're going to have that's a bunch of procedure penalties. That's already like 3 procedure penalties against both teams so far tonight.
Yeah, 2 on North Hall and 1 on Dawson so far.
Something you don't want to see in game 10.
Exactly. Have to put Chester T with an early lead on GAC. Michael, 7-0 down at Greater Atlanta Christian.
No, it's not here in the Chester.
Oh, it is at Chester. Yep. All right, good deal. Elbert County early lead on Raven County. I think that's for the region championship in that area tonight. McGarvey with 2-3 wideouts, one man in motion. Going to hand it off to 1. That's Cable. Cable trying to cut inside. Good coverage by Dawson County right there to get the stop. That was number 18, Jacob Falke. He's also the punter. Yeah, his defensive back comes up and makes a stop right there. Gary, it's going to be about another yard loss. It'll be 2nd and 16 now for the Trojans.
Belkai, pretty good size fella. He's listed as 6 foot, 175, and he can do more than just kick a ball.
Yep. 2nd down, 16 for the Trojans. Bars on the far hash mark, 4:58 and a quarter. 3 wideouts, 2 on the far side. Cable on this side by himself. Rolling out is McGarvey, going to throw across his body. He's got Cable wide open, throws it over his head about 3 yards.
Yeah, led him a little too far that time.
Rolling that the opposite and you're having to throw across your body, Gary, I think that makes you think in your mind they got to put a little bit more juice on it.
Yeah, and he's left-handed, throwing back to his right. So he just misjudged him.
Yep.
He was open.
That shows his strength too, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Jacob Adams now, number 22, comes into the game as a tight end receiver. And Parker Carlton will come out. 3 wideouts on the near side this time, ball on the far hash mark. Jenkins to the right of his quarterback, McGarvey, going to put Cable in motion.
A passing situation.
Looking to pass, throws it right over the middle. Oh, number 3, Kemp caught it. Trying to get away from somebody across the 35, out to the 38, 39-yard line. He got through right there in the middle. And Kemp had to dodge and duck right there, Gary, and keep those feet going. He got out to the 38 and a half, maybe.
Yeah, he made a little chicken salad out of that one, but yep. Not enough nearly for the first down, but a two-yard loss, he's going to wind up making about a six-yard gain.
The fourth and about seven now for the Trojans. First punt of the night, Walker Vining in to punt it with 4 minutes and 10 seconds left here in the first quarter.
Walker Vining
is the punter. Number four is Jaden Matty. He'll be the return man. No, they fake it. Over to Carlton. Carlton to the 50, the 45, the 40, and he's down right there by number 34. Knocks him down right there, Nate Grizzle.
Well, I look down, and all of a sudden I look up, and they got a first down.
Flag on the far side. Uh-oh. Looks like it's going against the Trojans.
They should give them a first down still, Joe.
See where the flag is at the 43-yard line. If it's 10 from there, Mike, it would be about a yard or two shy of what would have been the original first down. Let's see what they get.
It's just to be fourth down.
43-yard line.
Yep, going to be about a yard short. Joe, it should still be fourth down.
Yeah, still be fourth down and maybe one now instead of the seven that they had. They back them up. It's going to be fourth down. No, they're looking right at the first down. I think they got it, Mike, right there at the 47-yard line. It's a first down, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even hesitate. Yep. Didn't even try to measure that one. You saw big number 73, Kate Hawthorne, immediately signal, we got the first down, boys.
Yep, so offense will go back out. Hawthorne says, we got it. McKinley Kemp will come in, the senior, one of the seniors at a receiver. Ty Kemp in the game. Smith McGarvey back there with Carlton on one side and Jenkins on the other in the backfield. Ball's going to be on the North Hall 47-yard line, first and 10 with 3:41. A handoff to Jenkins. Jenkins spins at the 50, down to about the 47-yard line of Dawson County. Got about six there, Gary.
Yep.
Oh, flags everywhere. Oh, he got a pushing match out there. He got three or four flags in a hurry. Extracurricular stuff going on. You might have heard Jody Kenny say.
I think it was Rickett who made the stop, and then everybody got, got in each other's face. Let's put it that way.
Neither team can afford it, but what would happen right here, if somebody gets thrown out, they miss the next game, correct,
that's
Michael?
That's correct.
And that's the first round. You don't want a starter to get thrown out, or anybody for that matter, to get thrown out in something like this. That's very dangerous.
Well, we saw that. We knew this one was going to be emotional. I told you they got a little chippy on the very first play of the game on the kickoff.
You play with emotion, as Josh Dibbitt said, don't be emotional.
Exactly.
And we just say, Barry, what about me? You got to watch your mouth.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of teenage boys.
Exactly.
Don't matter. You still watch your mouth.
Yeah. Well, you do. But I'm just saying, it's not like a bunch of professional athletes out there. And making a living doing this. These boys are going to get emotional. And now they're going to walk you back against North Hall.
15-yard penalty is going to go against the Trojans. They'll be back down to the 38-yard line. So they got to go from the 38 all the way to the 43-yard line. So 7 and 12, 19 yards they've got to go. It's second down and 19. That's a big penalty right there, and you just got to make sure that nobody does anything goofy.
Well, again, it's an undisciplined penalty, Joe.
I, of course, never did anything stupid when I was a teenage boy.
I understand.
You understand.
Especially on the football field, right?
Absolutely not.
Coach would have jerked a knot in your ear, and McGarvey back to pass. Throws it complete over here to Kemp. Kemp caught it at the original first down marker at the 47, so they get nine of them back.
You know, McGarvey throws a pretty tight ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Again, he's a pitcher, Gary. We'll see him in the springtime.
Third down now, 10 yards to go, 2:52 in the quarter. North Hall leads it 14 to nothing. Trying to get you some more scores here.
Third and 10.
Banks County over Oglethorpe in a baseball score, 2-0. How about them Dodgers? Congratulations to Freddie Freeman winning the.
Oh, yeah, and who was. Who was the first baseman last time the Braves won a World Series?
Mr. Freeman. Exactly.
I think it was Freddie Freeman.
That's right. Almost to an eye, but then Jenkins comes over to the left of his quarterback, McGarvey, with a big rush. He's got to scramble away. He's going to try and get across the 50. He does. Out down to the 48 yard line of Dawson County. McGarvey had two guys sandwiching. One of those guys is number 40, it looked like.
48.
48 right there. Yeah. That's going to be Owen Wooten.
And Jaden Maddie also.
Okay.
I think Coach Woodall saw something, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Fourth down. They've cut it down to about, you know, almost 5 yards, fourth and five.
Wooten, one of the bigger guys for the Tigers. He's 200 pounds. Maddie's about 160, but they both hit him.
Jefferson, Oconee County tied at 7.
Act like they're going to punt.
They do this time, don't they? Snap to Walker Vining. He gets it off. Good kick by Walker this time. Back to catch it is number 4 right there at the 16-yard line. That was Jaden Meddy. It'll be first down for Dawson County at the 17-yard line of Dawson County.
North on top, 14-0 late first quarter. Quick story about Walker Vining there. His grandfather, the legendary Seth Vining, a great honor for him on Sunday. You'll hear from Adam Rich, the AD, at East Hall tomorrow morning on the Saturday Morning Sports Show. They're renaming the gym at Valhalla in honor of Seth Vining.
Doing that this Sunday.
I can't think of anybody that deserves that any more than Seth Vining.
Exactly right.
That's a 36-yard punt, Joe, with no return.
133 and a quarter. You got White County on top of Johnson, 6-0. 3-0, Walnut Grove over North Oconee.
Whoa.
Back to Weaver. Weaver looking to throw it. Almost intercepted. Tipped away right there by number 19, Mr. Clark.
Yeah, but it still hit his receiver.
Yep.
Intended receiver, number 2, Chatham Burnett, right in the number. And it just couldn't hang on.
Cherokee Bluff with a 2-touchdown lead on East Hall. Mark County over Flexman, 7-3. That's all I've got right now, Mike.
Cherokee Bluff looking to get back in the win column there. I mean, they've got a pretty good football team. They just ran into either a bus or a Mack truck when they went up to play Jefferson.
From Sardis, Chesapeake 7, GAC nothing. Pass is incomplete over on the far side. The intended receiver was number 7, Dylan Edwards, and Walker Davis was all over him.
Let's go, let's go!
Stripped him of the ball just as it got there, Joe.
You know, the thing about it is with Chesapeake, if they were to finish number 4 in this region, they'd probably be the lowest seeded team in the tournament at number 32. They would play Jefferson in the first round of the state playoffs in 2 weeks.
Ouch.
Woo. Yeah, ouch is exactly
that
right.
Is if Jefferson beats Oconee County tonight.
Yeah.
I think they're winning last we heard.
They're tied now, Gary.
Tied. Okay.
Hey, 122
in the quarter.
Be ready, Walker.
14-0 your score. One man in motion. Weaver takes the snap.
Right,
back to pass.
Right,
the right-hander looks. Stepping up. One man got to catch him in the middle. He does. Finally around the 26, 27. Close to the first down.
Let's go.
On the third down and 10.
Buddy Clark and Dalton Halsey double teaming to take him down.
About a yard short is what it looks like on the mark there, Gary. Fourth and 1.
So you can have one defender just going to be looking at Weaver all night long.
That's kind of what happened right there. It looked like Clark was hawking him that time, Gary, and following him as he stepped up and it opened up for him to take off. Looks like they're going to go to punt again right here. Bannister's going to come back in and kick it again.
Well, you know what it's still a manageable game right now. I mean, you got lots of football left to play. What you don't want to do is give the Trojans another short field with them up 14-0.
Exactly. Bannister runs around the rugby sides. Kicks it. Kemp catches it at the 35. Tries to dance around. Can't get anything. Got a yard to back out of it to the 36. Be first and 10. Number 4, Jaden Maddy. One of the guys initially down to hit him. And North Hall have the football first and 10 at their own 34-yard line.
Excellent coverage by the Tigers on that punt play there. North Hall top 14-0.
That's where the Trojans will take over first and 10.
Looking for their 8th straight win.
Roswell, Milton, and Roswell. That's a slobber knocker.
That's for the region championship,
that's
Joe.
7-3. Milton leads that one. White County 6-0 over Johnson. Alpharetta West Forsyth tied at 7. 3 wideouts here at North Hall. Ball on the near hash mark. 25 seconds left in the first. McGarvey takes it, hands off the lead to Carlton. They keyed on him, and he didn't get anything out of that one, Gary. Good job by the nose tackles up there. 54 Hunter Stroop, Brody Eason. One of the defensive linemen for Dawson County.
Well, Stroop's listed at 190 pounds.
They're undersized, so Gary, but they're going to hit you hard and with good technique.
3, 2, 1. That'll be the end of the first quarter. North Hall leads it 14-0.
Back in the second quarter in 1 minute here on 97.5 Glory FM.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle program, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered, so we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back here at North Hall High School, the Brickyard. North Hall leads it 14-0 over Dawson County in this Region 6-3A game. North Hall already to the region championship. Dawson finding themselves in a three-way tie. McGarvey, short pass to the far side. Didn't get the number of that Gama folks over there trying to push him. He got about 3 yards out of it.
About six people from Dawson County hit him.
Cole Cable is the man that caught it over there on the far side, and several white jerseys brought him down. Got about 3 yards maybe. Yep, about 3 yards will be third down and seven. Balls on the 39. Just underway here in the second quarter. Cherokee Bluff 14-0 on East Hall. GAC has scored. It's Chesterfield 10, GAC 3 over in Sardis. 11-17 in the quarter. McGarvey takes it for left-hander back. Looks in the middle, looking long, throwing it long. Got a man. Throw is over his head. Incomplete. Intended receiver is number one, Cole Cable.
Yeah, again, he was open, and again, he led him a little too far.
Cole has got 10 touchdowns on the season. He's got 38 receptions for 533 coming into the season tonight. Luke Jenkins broke the all-purpose yards of 1,000 yards on that long run back in the first quarter, Gary. So Luke Jenkins leading the team with all-purpose yards this season.
Yeah, he had 48 last week, and I'm sure in very limited action running the ball against Johnson. And he also had a touchdown again last week.
Back to punt is Vitti. He will punt it around the 27. Good high punt. Number four is going to call for the fair catch at the 25. That is Jaden Matty. And that's where Dawson County will take over first and 10.
36. Excuse me, Joe. 36 yards, no return. Mm-hmm. And Dawson County, after those early miscues, has settled down, which is exactly what they needed to do.
They had to keep North Hall going up by three or four touchdowns right there. That might have happened.
Yeah.
10:59 in the quarter.
In fact, it looked like it was on the way to being just that.
Well, those two explosive plays, guys. Dawson County, both better football team than that.
Oh, yeah. Got loud down there on Gary's mic, running us right in front of the shooting section. Weaver takes it. Quick pass right over the top to Bannister on the far side. It looked like almost got the first down over there. That's going to be number two that caught that one, Chad Burnett. And he gets a first down.
I think it was Harwood 5 over there that
knocked him down.
Hit him first, and they did get the first down.
Yep,
to the 35,
the first
right
down,
at the 35.
First down for the Tigers. 10:42 in the quarter. Weaver with is the quarterback with one man there beside him. Three wideouts all on the near side. Then a handoff this time to Cody McBrayer. McBrayer's going to get five or six, it looked like. And he gets about seven right there, it looked like.
Before Parker Carl could knock him down. They're hitting the holes much better, Joe.
Yep. Second down eight. Second down two now. He got 8 on the carry.
Well, you take that all day long from your rushing attack.
No heavens,
eight
yes.
Yards of carry. And like I said, he saw the hole and just slanted right through it before Carlton could stop him after 8 yards.
Weaver two stacked on top of each other on this side, one man on the far side. And a handoff to 24 McBrayer. McBrayer pushes forward, gets the first down before met by a host of black jerseys at the 47-yard line. It'll be first and 10.
He just ran into a wall of bodies.
Yep, wall of bodies.
And then finally spun off to the side and got enough for the first down.
McBrayer gets the first down, 9:43 in the quarter.
First down for the Tigers at their own.
As Mike said, Dawson County kind of settled into their playbook right now, Gary. It's first down and 10. They get a couple of good successful plays there back to back.
Yeah, they looked discombobulated for about the first 3 minutes of the game, and Orthall hung 14 points on them in a hurry.
But that's over, guys.
Third down, or first down, excuse me, three wideouts on this side. The Dylan Edwards catches the pass. Nice one, about 7 yards across the 50 down to the 47-yard line. Mark it at the 46-yard line is what you're going to say. Gave him 7 yards, second down and three.
Walker Davis on the stop along with a couple of his other teammates.
Hurry up offense this time. Weaver looks over to the sideline like he's barking out. 9 minutes exactly in the quarter. Two men back there. Davis kind of in a fullback or H-back position. McBrayer, the tailback on the right side of his quarterback. McBrayer, this time Weaver's going to throw. Hit immediately by number 11. Knocks him down right there.
Ooh,
that's
that,
Charlie Dyer.
And that was...
It bent him up backwards as he came over. That's number two.
I was just about to say, Joe, yeah. That looked awkward.
Burnett, he caught it and got... He was bent backwards, folks, because he hit him right back there in the lower back and bent him backwards, if you will.
Backwards and sideways at the same time. My back hurts just thinking about that.
I hear you. Charlie Dyer hits him, makes the tackle, and Burnett jogs off under his own power to the far side. He's standing next to the coach and saying, "I'm ready, coach." First down again. Now ball's at the 42 this time for Dawson County. Three wideouts far side. Going to hand off to 24 McBrayer. McBrayer across the 40 down to the 38.
Well, Dawson Reed, one of the big defensive linemen, a junior, smacked him from behind, and then about four more of the black shirts stood him up right there. But not a bad pickup on first down.
Nope, Dawson County going hurry up to get four yards on the first down. Now they stand up and look to the far side. The offensive line whirls to their left side to look to this bench. Weaver takes it, hands off to McBrayer again. McBrayer fouling a block, gets about four, maybe five more yards across the 35 to the 34. It'll be second, third down and two now for the Tigers.
Another four-yard game brings up third and two.
Got 8 yards on two carries, and coach will take that all day, Gary, of 4 yards at a clip.
Absolutely. My math says that after three carries, that's 12 yards, and that's the first down.
Yes, sir. Every time. 7-10 left here in the first quarter. North Hall with a two-touchdown lead, but Dawson County on the drive.
And they've been on the ground, Joe.
Yep. Gunner Weaver. Out deep this time, Preston Bannister in the backfield. Brings the man in there beside him. That's McBrayer. McBrayer gets the ball. Goes right up the middle. He doesn't get it. He might not. Ball comes out. And who's going to fall on it? North Hall says they have it. But let's see if they say it's a fumble or not. The way the officials are saying, they're saying, yeah, but let's see. Is it North Hall or is it going to be Dawson County?
Ball pops loose. It is recovered by Dawson County.
Dawson County did recover right there as our PA announcer, Jody King, tells us it'll be fourth down and 10 as they lost eight on that. Ball, good hit by North Hall right there at the point of contact, Gary. Ball got knocked back there, and North Hall almost fell on it.
Yeah, I'll probably go for it too here, Joe.
Fourth down and 10 from the 42-yard line. I think that's McBrayer back there again. No, Weaver's the quarterback. Weaver's going to run. He's got two guys on him. He almost tripped him up. He throws it desperately on the far side. Incomplete as it gets knocked away at the last second by the North Hall defender, Connor Harwood. Intended receiver over there was number four, Matty. That was pretty impressive right there by the quarterback. Weaver, just to keep his balance, he had got his ankle ripped away from him twice, got away and then threw a pretty good ball over there to Matty. But Connor Harwood stepped in front and knocked it away at the last second.
So North Hall will have it.
Goes over on downs. North Hall has it. McGarvey in the gun. Three wideouts. Going to hand off to Jenkins. No, Carlton. Carlton, quick hitter across the 45 to the 47. He gets 5 yards right off the bat on first carry with 5:45 left here in the first half.
Well, again, you have basically Jenkins and Carlton doing the running for the Trojans here in the first half.
There's no doubt the Trojans like to hang one more on them before the halftime.
Now, if they stay away from their miscues, they might be able to do it. Three wideouts, two on the near side, ball in the middle of the field, handoff this time to Luke Jenkins. Luke doesn't get anything on that one. Good job by the defensive front, led Jenkins by number 48. Was that Owen Wooten? Knocked him down.
Could be.
And he might have got a half a yard. It's third down and a short five, long four, whichever way you want to look at it here. Parker Carlton will come in the game. McKinley Kemp will come into the game as a receiver. McGarvey came over and got his signal from coach.
Yeah, Wooten's played pretty well on defense for the Tigers so far. Like I said, pretty big boy. He's 200-pounder, about 5'10".
McGarvey, three wideouts, two on the near side. Ball on the far hash mark. McGarvey back. Looks, the left-hander throws. A little high pass complete, but we've got a flag coming in from the referee, the white hat. So, probably from that position, probably going to be a hold,
generally,
I would guess.
Yeah, generally in the backfield like that, it's something like that.
And they do that so often, Joe.
Yep.
I know coaches told me on game plan after that we get through talking, he said, Mike, those are not holds. He said, you know, we have seen it over and over again on film, but they get called for at least two or three a game.
That is holding on North Hall.
Well, you know, they let you use your hands a lot on offense.
Yep.
And it's if you turn your hands, your thumbs out, they generally let you get away with it. But if you turn your thumbs in, they turn that into a hold.
That's because they're going to take the penalty. It's going to back them up 10 yards from the spot back to the 33-yard line.
It's with the line of scrimmage, I think.
Yeah, it's going to take the distance and not the down.
Third down, and it's going to be about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 19 yards for the first down, 4:38 now.
Yeah, that's with the spot then.
Well, they think they're going to be able to force them into another punt and get better field position out of this because still a lot of time left in the first half.
Like the line judge on this side, they had to back it up one more yard, so it's going to be a 15-yard penalty.
Joe wants Cable and Kemp, the receivers for North Hall.
And both teams, by the way, have all three of their timeouts left, in case you're wondering about that.
Ethan Croft in there. You got Kemp in. Now they're mouthing it back 5 yards. Okay, mass confusion on my part because now they went back and they brought it back up here to the 37-yard line. It's going to be 3rd and 15. Get it right in a minute. Four wideouts for the Trojans, one running back. Kemp in motion. McKinley timing. Now they're going to throw it over here. Complete to McGarvey or two. Yeah, little trickery that time. It didn't work out. Cole Cable got it on the reverse. Threw it over here to McGarvey. And in a hurry, number 4 makes the tackle. Jaden Meddy for the Tigers.
And that's so dangerous in my mind after having your other quarterback hurt a few weeks ago. You can't afford to have him get hurt at all, Joe.
Lost 5 more yards. It'll be 4th down and 20 now. I agree, Mike. You can't afford to get him hurt. Next guy up is an underclassman for sure.
Well, former quarterback Walker Davis is the backup.
High snap. He gets it off. Good little kick right there. Going to come down there to number 4, Waddy. Maddie with a flag down. Maddie, ooh, his helmet comes off. Now the North Hall man's number 35. That's going to be Tanner White's hat.
That's going to be Dawson, too, Joe. It might go half the distance. We'll see what happens.
Officials talk. You got the white hat over here talking to the side judge. Umpire gets involved with it. I'm going to chat a little bit on this one. 3:48 left here in the first half.
14-0 North Hall. Dawson County gets the kickoff to start the second half.
21-6, Cherokee Bluff over East Hall. Banks County over Oglethorpe County, 8-7. Banks over them. Habersham and Jackson. Jackson County 10-7 over Habersham Central. 10-6, Chester T over GAC. Second year behind Lanier 7-6. Buford up 10-0. Officials still hashing it out down there as we chat. Jefferson 14-7 on Oconee County right now, Gary.
Good.
Going to be against,
somebody up.
Nope, the Dawson County, the penalty was against Dawson County. It'll be a first down.
It took them so long, Joe. Crowd's wondering for a moment.
I think what they're trying to decide, if it happened on the return or if it happened, you know, up here somewhere else. Gary needs batteries, Mike.
They're saying,
it looks like. He's up here next
to Mike.
Us.
He got brand new Mike last week.
No, it's in the radio.
Okay, I got it right here.
Dawson County will have it.
For the end of the run, Joe.
At the end of the run, it'll be at the 32-yard line where they'll have it first and 10, 3:48 and a quarter. 14-0, North Hall with the lead. Three wideouts. Ball's right in the middle of the field. A flag already. We've got too many men on the field. I think now the umpire picks it up. He thought he had an extra green or a black jersey out there. He picks his flag up. Now Dawson County will play. Weaver has it. Goes off to the far side. Hands off to number 20 this time. A new running back, or number 28. I believe it is Aiden Bannister. A lot of Bannisters on this team.
Oh, yeah.
And got three out of it, Aiden did. Got down to the 35, second down and seven. Bannister, a long-standing name over in the Dawson County area.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like Gailey at North Hall, right? Walford at North Hall. But second down, 7 yards to go, 3:23 and a quarter. Three wideouts, one man in motion. That is number two, Burnett. Now we've got flags, illegal procedure on Dawson County. Now what is that, four, maybe five?
Yeah, they're not getting set in time, wait, look, Joe.
Yeah. Moving in a hurry is what it looks like to me.
Yep. Well, we're talking fast break football. They do that at Dawson County, too.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do out there.
Trying to keep North on their heels.
Back them up 5 yards. Second down and 12 now behind the sticks with 3:12 left here in the second quarter. Going by fairly quickly. Senior night here at North Hall. We'll recognize all the seniors on the squad here, the Trojans, for the night's over. To Weaver. Weaver rolls out to the right. Looks, got a man open. He almost intercepted. And then almost picked up by his receiver, Eli Phillips. It went off the fingertips of a defensive back for North Hall.
If Eli had gotten that, that'd
Eli,
be something.
Yeah, Eli Phillips almost caught it. But then as he's tackled, the ball's knocked away. It'll be third down and 12 now.
You watch on YouTube back in the day, like Franco Harris there, the Steelers back in the playoffs way back when.
Yeah. The immaculate reception.
Yes.
This one has come to be punch and counterpunch now. Nobody has even come close to scoring since 9:05 left in the first quarter.
Third down, 12 yards to go, three wideouts, four wideouts, one on the far side. One guy in motion, that was Davis Glass. Weaver rolls to this side, looks, throws it, got a man, threw it behind him.
No.
It'll be incomplete.
Bounced it.
Eli Phillips had to slide and it still bounced up to him. So it'll be incomplete and bring a fourth down for the Tigers.
Really, the only thing it's worth so far has been over the middle, Joe.
Yep, exactly right. North Oconee has come back with a blast over Walnut Grove, 21-3 now over Walnut Grove.
They will win that region championship, by the way, in A-Quad A.
Clark Central over Winder Barra, Stevens County over East Jackson. Back to kick. Yes, Bannister. Left footer. Ooh, shanked that one a little bit right there. It's going to hit maybe as it goes out of bounds around the 50. I think he hit out of bounds and everything over there. It's going to be not a very good one at all, guys. It's going to be marked down at the 45-yard line of Dawson County, Gary.
Oh, wow. That's a 15-yard punt.
Yeah. He missed that one bad. Maybe he should do the running around thing like they do in rugby or whatever, soccer, before he kicked that one. I don't know.
Well, and if you can get it off and strike it well, if it hits, it almost always rolls forward.
Yep.
On that kind of punt.
The 2:38, three wideouts, balls on the Dawson 45. McGarvey with one man beside him. That's Jenkins. Hands off to Jenkins. Jenkins cuts through the middle and then off to the far side. Gets about six or seven before he's tackled out of bounds on the far side. North Hall folks wanted to tackle out of bounds, but the hit started inbounds, and then they just kind of roll together out of bounds on there. So good, no call by the official, but they picked up seven, almost eight on that carry, Gary.
Well, if they hit you inbounds and you just keep your feet moving and everybody goes out of bounds, I think that's got to be a no call there.
Exactly. Number 61, James Hendricks, comes in on the offensive line, comes in for big number 59, Thomas Green. Two wide outs on the near side. Jenkins beside his quarterback. Jenkins will take it. Got a hole. Got drugged down by his jersey, but got the first down to the 33. And about five or six, a big lineman got up in a hurry for North Holland, ran back towards his guy. I think somebody might have been holding on to a face mask. He didn't want to get in trouble right there, so he got out of the way.
Maybe we're trying to, right now, Joe, sort of grind it here at the end of the first half.
Nick Sanders out. And look like Big Eli Ham back in the game for the Trojans. First down at 10 to 33. 1:53 left here in the quarter. Ball's on 34, excuse me. McGarvey keeps it across the 30, the 25, the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Smith McGarvey.
Well, it was on a run.
Yeah, he hurdled Jackson Rickett and just kept on going.
34-yard run by McGarvey. Saw it open up in the middle. Only one guy back there to try and catch him, and that was Jaden Matty. He was kind of off at a different angle and couldn't catch up with Smith. It'll be a touchdown for the Trojans.
That was a design play, Joe. You can see it happening with Smith there.
Yep. Well, Smith on the season, Mike, had, coming into tonight, had 377 yards rushing.
Yes, he did.
The kick by Blake Carmona is up, and it's a little bit better kick this time. It's good. 21-0 Trojans with 1:40 left in the half.
And we're back after this 30-second timeout. Nathan, back in 30 here on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
That's taking a short time answer because they're not using a full minute between kickoffs here.
Exactly. They've been taking like maybe 32 seconds. And Mike's been like having to snap his finger at me and say, okay, you go. You take it, Joe, which is our signal.
So North Hall, they get the opening possession. They score with two plays, and then they score here at the end of the first half of play with the Tigers with a chance now.
Walker Vining will kick it off to the Tigers with 1:40 left here in the quarter. They love to get a long return. Walker, a little pooch kick over to the near side. Guy's going to call a fair catch at the 17-yard line. That's number 44, Trip.
48.
48 caught it?
Yeah.
All right, that's Owen Wooten. I can say his name.
Yep. Well, Joe, you notice what a lot of people are doing now. They're trying to kick it, like as Harper was saying, between the numbers and the sideline. And then you look, are you going to try to let it go out of bounds, or is it going to be a free ball and kick it if they can get it? Yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing now.
Well, no time ran off the clock either on the fair catch. So they've got 100 seconds to work with here and all three timeouts left.
44 is Trip. First to know. And it's say first and all, but it's got a lot more letters in it than that.
So good, Joe, too. Yeah.
First down at the 17 of Dawson County. Weaver takes it, throws it to the far side, threw it behind his receiver, but he caught it, and the ball pops out. They're going to say an incomplete pass.
He had it for a split second, but he had it way at the end of his arms.
Yep.
He was clinging onto it with his fingerprints and when he got with his fingertips, and when he got hit, they're going to rule that it was incomplete.
Dylan Edwards, intended receiver, and he got wrapped up on the far side by Connor Harwood. He's second down and 10 now. 7 seconds ticked off the clock.
Well, they better be careful. They're going to give it back to North Hall.
Exactly.
If I'm North Hall and they don't get anything on this play right here, I might call timeout.
They still have all three of theirs. Weaver takes the snack. Noah Bannister throws a left-handed pass far side. Over there complete. And he only gets about a yard out of it as they wrestle him down. That was number 7 again, Dylan Edwards.
Well, Joe, I think he threw it behind him. That was a lateral.
He might have got 2 yards out of it. It's up to the 20 now. So it's going to be third down and just short of the 20, third down and 8. Timeout called on the field with 1:24 left in the quarter.
And we'll keep it right here. You can see what Coach Maxwell's done, Joe. He said, okay, let's go and change things up here. Let's put Bannister at quarterback here.
Yep. And the email that you received and forwarded to me, Mike, the offensive coordinator, said expect to see Bannister a little bit of everywhere, and we have so far tonight.
Absolutely.
Receiver, quarterback, defensive back, punter, so he's playing a little bit of everywhere.
And guess who called that timeout? It was North Hall.
North Hall called
like we thought.
Just like you said.
Yeah, because they want the ball back.
Oh, yeah.
And they can hold them right here in third and eight.
You know, and if they get anywhere near, you know, they got a pretty good reliable kicker in Carmona.
Well, Carmona, he doesn't have the longest one this year. Vining has the longest one at 33 yards.
Well, there you go. You got to get the play call right here.
Third down and eight. 1, 2, 3, 4 wideouts for the Tigers. Weaver takes it, looks, throws over the middle. Nobody's going to catch that one. He throws that one about 5 or 6 yards over the intended receiver's head, which was Bannister.
I think Harwood was shadowing him pretty close, too.
He was.
And that's going to kill the clock. So it's 1:19, and it's fourth down. Now you got to give it back to North Hall, who has two timeouts left.
And Bannister will be dropped back to punt, and North Hall's going to send everybody.
I would think they would. They just got to be careful and not get a penalty right here for roughing the kicker.
Orthol's got one guy back.
Yep.
That's Kemp.
That's Kemp. Bannister gets it, kicks. Kemp's going to have to race back to the 39 and catch it. Coming to this side, gets away from one guy to the 40. Dodging the guy down to the 43 is all he gets. Good kick and not much of a return. Good pursuit there by North Hall, number 4 for Dawson County.
But, Joe, again, good field position for North Hall.
Now, Maddie, come back there, just good pursuit that time. North Hall will have it first and 10 with 107.
About a 46-yard punt, Joe.
Yep, on their own 43-yard line, first and 10.
Well, that's certainly what you want out of your punter, get you out of the hole.
1, 2, 3 wideouts, one guy, Kemp, in kind of a slot position. They'll put him in motion. Now you've got illegal procedure on North Hall. So
again.
Yeah. So.
And Joe, on first down play. That's what happened.
Yeah.
On first down.
What are you doing? That guy goes in motion. And everybody else is set. So did somebody sneeze again or something out there? That's funny.
Well, I see Ty Kemp out there. That slot is up. I just flashed back to Dan Jackson at that position.
Yeah. Exactly. First down and 15. Balls to 38. 107 in the quarter.
Speaking of Dan, he and the rest of the dogs in Jacksonville tomorrow.
Dan can't play the first half. He and one of the other guys.
That's right. That's a targeting thing. I remember that now.
McGarvey has it. Guy's coming on him. He fast to throw it late. He got it out to Jenkins. Jenkins, dude, got racked right there at the 39-yard line.
Now, that was close.
Yeah.
And here come the flags.
Now, they're going to call it on 46, it looks like, right there, because he said something right in front of the North Hall.
Yeah,
kind of goofy.
Well, and it was close in getting a late hit anyway, and now you mouth off. Come on, kid.
We said earlier, you said they're teenagers, but you still got to watch your mouth.
Well, you're right.
Zach Cruz.
I mean, you know, I've seen athletes cost themselves championships before because they couldn't control their mouth.
Personal foul to go on Cruz for Dawson County. If that cost him a touchdown right here, I imagine that Coach Maxwell, he won't be happy anyway, but he won't be happy with that.
He'd be saying some
things
to him at halftime.
Yeah, he probably will.
Well, there was no need for him to even hit. He was already headed out of bounds.
Right.
And, I mean, he hit him borderline inbounds, but it was no need to do that. And then he comes up and somebody said something and then obviously went against Dawson County.
Lost the 45. McGarvey gets it on the snap, looking to throw. Throws over here, completing out of bounds, I think. Yeah. Ty Kemp catches it at the 37-yard line.
Yeah, and freshman Nate Grizzle shoves him out of bounds.
Let's watch clock man.
Seven yarders out of bounds, 53 seconds left in the quarter.
But you haven't had to use either one of those two timeouts you have left. They've been running the sidelines, been working the sidelines.
Ethan Croft back in, Jacob Adams in, Luke Jenkins out, Cable and Kemp still in the game. That's Ty. Parker Carlton off to the left of his quarterback, Smith McGarvey. 53 seconds left in the quarter. McGarvey back. They're coming on him. He steps up looking to go long. He's got a man. Oh, Cole Cable threw it a little bit behind him. He had to leech back over and went right through his hands. Incomplete.
Yeah, catchable ball, but it would have been a tremendous catch to have caught it.
So you can see that one coming. I could have told you. You can see that one coming. Go back to the GAC game.
Yep.
Same type play.
Well, and Cole, like Gary said, he was open down there, but Smith threw it a little bit behind him on his route. And he had to kind of reach back behind him, and it just went right through his hand.
Yeah, he had to turn around, try to locate the ball, and when he did, it went through his arms.
It's going to be third down in about three now. 46 seconds left. Northall still with a timeout. McGarvey has it.
You want the first down.
Going to give it off to Jenkins to the 35. Hurdles the guy to the 30.
I don't think you can do that in high school anymore.
Oh, boy. And Joe knows why, don't you, Joe?
Wasn't that the White County rule there?
That's correct.
Yep. Can't jump over a guy in high school.
You can step over him, but you can't jump.
You can't jump, and he hurdled, and he got two flags, one back at the 42 and one down at the 36.
It's again on YouTube, folks. You get a chance to see years ago, great White County runner hurdle a player, ended up getting hurt, and they said, okay, cannot do this anymore, and put a rule in to effect. They said, no, can't do it anymore.
And the personal foul against North Hall is a low chop block that hit him low down there. Yeah. And so it's going to be third down. It'll push him up, push him back 10 yards for sure, maybe more.
That's 15, yeah.
Avery Niles, our umpire, walking his 15-yarder, is going to be back across midfield at the 47 with 26 seconds left. Third down and about 17 now for the Trojans. Kind of shot themselves in the foot on that one, Gary.
Yeah. So it's different when you're up 21-0.
Yep.
You got to watch out those kind of plays.
Exactly. That could be a changer on a team that can go and score in a hurry when you get in the playoffs. Three wideouts far side. McGarvey, the left-handed quarterback, takes it. Little pitch underneath to Jenkins. Jenkins tries to get through some guys. Good guys. Good read by Tripp. First to know to stay at home. He only got maybe back to the line of scrimmage on that one.
And it doesn't matter because that's the end of the half.
That'll be it right there. See if Gary can get a word with Coach there as they go off.
I'll see if I can track him down.
You see how happy he's going to be. That's the big question I've got.
Yeah.
21-0 Northall here at halftime in the last game of the regular season. Again, Gary had to chase him down probably.
Yeah, he's over here
putting his headset up. Talk to his assistant coaches a little bit. See if we can get something with him really quick. Coach, you hung a couple of them really quick, and then it sort of settled down kind of a punching match.
Penalties. That's what it is. It's if you go back and you watch, all of our drive stoppers, except for one, is penalties. We're getting holding calls or whatever it is, but we're getting a lot of penalties. It seems like we're getting a lot of holding calls, and we got to. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to watch the film, and we're going to correct whatever mistakes we're making.
All right, Coach. Thanks for your time. Well, there you go. Let me tell you, I guess you could tell from the tone of his voice, he was not a happy man.
Well, he didn't slow down because you guys walked every bit of 30 yards down through there.
I tell you,
happy he would be, Gary.
He didn't break. He didn't break stride.
No, he did not.
All right, halftime.
Here we go.
It is Northall 21 and Dawson County nothing. Back with the United Community Halftime Report after this timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com. Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time.
Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
It's time for our halftime report, brought to you by United Community on 97.5 Glory FM.
And back here at the Brickyard at Lincoln Trail Stadium, North Hall High School, Gary Glenn, Joe Gailey, Mike Marfitt with you here on 97.5 Glory FM. Last game of the regular season here on the first day of November. We are back here in 2 weeks on November 15th. North Hall will be at home in the opening round of the state playoffs. We'll find out their opponent probably on Monday morning, November 11th. That's probably as soon as we're going to find out who their opponent is going to be getting ready for that Friday, November 15th game. In this one, North Hall jumped out two quick scores in the first three plays of the game for the Trojans. They scored two touchdowns, jumped out to a 14-0 lead with just over 9 minutes remaining in the first quarter. And then on their last drive of the first half, they were able to score on a nice 34-yard run by their quarterback, Smith McGarvey. All three PATs are good. North Hall on top by a score of 21-0 here at halftime. Right now you have, in Hall County, you have North Hall making the state playoffs as the number one team out of Region 6 AAA. You have Gainesville, which is off until the 15th. They retroed their regular season last week. They're the number three team out of Region 7 Quinte. They'll be on the road during the state playoffs, which is something nobody really was expecting there, but they'll open up on the road on the 15th in the Class 5A state playoffs. Also, in Hall County again, you have Cherokee Bluff, which will probably finish as a number two team out of Region 8 AAA. They would be at home in the opening round of the state playoffs. Also, you have Fly Branch. They're looking at being the number four team out of Region 8 Quad A. They'd go down to Stockbridge on the 15th to play in the opening round of the state playoffs. Then also you have East Forsyth. They are going to probably hit the playoffs as the number three team out of that region. And here in Hall County, we've got two more teams we're going to talk about, one being Chesity, which could finish as the number four team in this region in 6 AAA, and still trying to get a score from the hot gates at Spartan Field with Monroe Area and at West Hall. If West Hall can win that game, Joe, by 8 points, they're in the state playoffs for the first time since 2017.
How about that? I have not seen a score on West Hall at all tonight, Mike, so not sure if
we're going to try to get you one here during the halftime report.
Good deal. As far as scores, let me start at the bottom. As we go up, ones that concern us, North Oconee up on Walnut Grove 21-3.
Again, let's just do it quick, Joe. North Oconee be number one in that region, 8 quad A. East Side will be number two. Right now it's going to be East Forsyth 3 and Flyer Branch 4.
Milton over Roswell 7-3 in that one.
And that's for the region championship in Gainesville's region. Milton, one of the top 10 teams in the state, in the entire, was going to be in the nation, pardon me, in the nation. Going for that region championship.
Let's see here. Buford over Mill Creek 10-0. Seconder losing to Lanier 7-6. Jackson County 17-7 over Habs Central. Stevens County, well, it just flipped on the dead gummit.
At Jackson County Habersham Central game, by the way, Joe. Jackson County with Coach Knobs, they're going to be probably the number two team there in that region behind Clark Central, and play their first home game in the state playoffs ever. Don Golden started that program back in 1990. Here they are 35 seasons later, will play their first ever home game in the state playoffs.
Don Golden started it, yep. I remember him well. Oglethorpe County on top of Banks County 14-10. Hart County on Franklin 14-3. Albert County up on top of Raven County 14-0.
Commerce will be their one team in that region then.
Peachtree Ridge 33-0 over Burtmar. The Norcross over Brookwood 13-10. Dunwoody over Shiloh. Jefferson 17-14 now over Oconee County. Close that gap. Cherokee Bluff 28-7 over East Hall. East Jackson's come on back on Stevens County 21-13.
And Paul's right there, Joe. That's one of those regions that are most affected by the power rankings in 8AA. It's an 8AA. It's still hard to imagine that they're in AA. But in that region, you have Prince Avenue Christian and Hebron Christian 1-2. So that region will not get a team in the top 16 teams in the state playoffs.
Which is nuts. You and I have had discussions away from the air, and I just totally disagree with that part of it. But anyway, and a big, big game just about 6 or 8 miles from us. GAC at the half, 6. Chester T, 17.
War Eagle.
That's right. War Eagle, 17-6 over GAC here in at halftime.
And I told Stuart Cunningham during game plan, and I said, you know, I sort of, and you can see where I'm coming with, sort of compare his 2 years at Chester T as when Bob Crystal took over the program here in 01.
Yep.
You know,
getting things going.
Well, Stuart went winless last year. Mm-hmm. Bob went 1-9 because of 9/11.
Yep.
They probably would have gone winless, but they played that game that was canceled on 9/11 that week and played in the season and won that game. Then the next year they went to their first ever state playoff.
Yeah.
Now you hear with Chesapeake in year two the chance for Stuart and them to go to their first state tournament in a long time.
That'd get everybody over in the Sardis area pumped up, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, stats, Mike. You got North Hall with 215 total yards, 75 for Dawson County, 158 yards on the ground for North Hall, 57 in the air. North Hall with 7 penalties, 65 yards. You heard Coach Pender talking about that. 5 penalties, 45 yards for Dawson County. Individual stats. Hit the wrong button there. You've got Parker Carlton, 3 rushes for 20. Luke Jenkins had that long one, 78-yarder, 6 rushes, 100 yards. Smith and Garvey, 2 for 39. He had a 34-yarder. Catching the ball, let's see. McGarvey is 7 of 10, throwing the football 62 yards. Receiving, Cable, 2 catches for 35. Kemp, 3 for 25. And Jenkins, 2 for 2 yards for Dawson County. Gunner Weaver carried the ball twice for 7 yards. McBrayer, 5 for 12. Aiden Bannister, 2 for 4. Throwing it 8 for 17 is Gunner Weaver for 51 yards. Preston Bannister's caught 3 balls for 28 yards. And Chad Burnett, 3 catches for 15, Mike.
All right, again, here at halftime, it's North Hall 21, Dawson County nothing. Coming up next, we continue with the United Community Halftime Report. All right, we got much more for you coming up next, as we'll have our NGPG sports moment coming up during halftime here. And again, we're back here at North Hall in 2 weeks on November 15th in the opening round of the Class AAA state playoffs, as we'll follow the Trojans as far as they play in the state playoffs. And again, next week is an off week for all the teams in North Georgia due to Hurricane Helene with the schedule changes they have in South and Central and East Central Georgia, especially in the Augusta area. And according to the coaches we've talked to, is that those schools are going to play 3 games between now and next Saturday.
That's crazy.
Which is going to affect a lot of teams going into the state playoffs.
Oh, it is. I mean, you got all in, you know, a lot of watching. That's why we won't know what the tournament brackets really look like till next Sunday. And it really puts a lot of folks kind of on the backside looking in, honestly. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it just, you have to sit around and wait. And
Coach Pender told me, he said next Sunday on the 10th, mm-hmm. his whole staff's going to be working all day long getting prepared for that first round opponent.
Oh, sure.
And then
sure.
on that Veterans Day Monday, then the players get ready for that game here. The big Advanced North Hall will be playing here.
Yeah, exactly. Getting to play at home, as we said in the pregame, is such a huge advantage for teams this time of year. And if you can play at home, your routines, as we often say, routine can stay the same, and that's a huge, huge deal in my mind, and I think for the coaches too.
All right, let's try it again. Nathan, you're ready to go. Let's pause a moment and get back with more here on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
It's time for our sports medicine update from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine.
97.5 Glory FM, your radio station for North Georgia sports. We're talking with Dr. Brett Meeks, one of the surgeons from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine. And Dr. Meeks, good to have you with us here once again. Let's talk about some of the common injuries that not only the young athlete, but also someone older that might experience and could need your help, please.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Yeah, so again, you know, when we talk about younger athletes, a lot of times the injuries that we're seeing are, we see some ACL tears, we see meniscus injury, and we also see shoulder injuries from dislocations. So we see shoulder instability patients. And we operate on all those folks with arthroscopic surgery and try to get them stabilized and or get their ACL reconstructed and get them back to sport. And older folks, also seeing a lot of injuries as well. I treat patients with rotator cuff tears. I also treat patients with shoulder arthritis and do shoulder replacement surgery. And so a lot of times trying to get patients back to what they love, and usually that involves some level of sporting activity, but not always. Sometimes patients injure themselves in the course of work, and they're really just trying to get back to work. And so we take care of those folks as well, and kind of spans the whole gamut, really.
All right. The first quick question is: will a younger athlete, say in their teens, who may have an injury in a high school sport, once you correct their problem and they go through NGPG, are they more likely maybe to have problems later on in life, sir?
I think that's kind of specific to the injury, but I think I would say a younger person, as long as they don't put off being seen and have a delay in their care where, maybe they're doing further injury to their knee or shoulder, I think that, those folks, if we're able to get to them in an appropriate timeline, we can sort of help prevent those injuries later in life. But certainly there's some injuries that can happen, whether it's the knee or the shoulder, that can predispose you for some level of arthritis, you know, down the road. But there's really certainly no crystal ball or no timeline that says that those patients will have that. I think it's just a possibility based on the initial injury.
All right, how about someone like myself who's older in life, okay, and then your joints just start wearing out on you? How can you help me?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I see a lot of folks that have some arthritis, whether that's knee or shoulder arthritis, and we always try to start conservative, and there's certainly a lot of treatment options, whether that's over-the-counter medications, including, you know, anti-inflammatories and Tylenol. There's also a lot of topical creams that can help. Certainly icing and heating are initial treatment options. And there's also injections that we do to help people. And, you know, as far as injections, you know, there's options for cortisone. There's sort of gel injections that can help with knee arthritis. And then there's some injections called PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma. And then, you know, at least in the knee, there's some good data to support that. So I think there's a lot of sort of non-operative options. And certainly, you know, when we talk about getting older and playing recreational sports and doing those things, it's always good to, you know, certainly warm up and stretch and kind of have a progression of activity as opposed to sort of, you know, I guess being a couch potato and then saying, you know, I'm gonna go you know, play a huge round of tennis here and injure yourself. So, you know, we try to talk to people about that as well. So I think those are all ways that we can help people short of surgery.
All right. How about when it comes to surgery, like for someone who is older and say their knees are just gone out or their shoulders gone out and you got, say, bone on bone, how do you help them?
Yeah, so using the shoulder as an example, so somebody that comes in, it's, and some of this depends on, you know, how old that patient is. There's different procedures in the shoulder, but, you know, we'd be talking about shoulder replacement most likely. And, you know, I think in the properly indicated patients, those patients are very happy after having a shoulder replacement and sort of getting some motion back and you know, not having that bone-on-bone grinding and pain. So it can certainly provide tremendous relief. And by the same token, you know, in the knee, certainly there's knee replacement options, and we have, you know, adult reconstruction and knee and hip specialists within NGPG as well, and can certainly get you to the right person for that. But I think, you know, in the properly indicated patient, the arthroplasty or joint replacement procedures can be hugely beneficial.
All right, so tell me, how invasive, say, will the shoulder replacement surgery be?
So yeah, it's shoulder replacement. When you say invasive, it's not the arthroscopic procedure. You know, the rotator cuff repairs and different things, shoulder instability surgery. You know, those are small poke holes where we're using the arthroscope and doing minimally invasive surgery. With the replacements, you know, we're not talking about a camera in the shoulder. We're talking about a, you know, incision over the front of the shoulder. So it's, you know, more of an open procedure because we have to get the parts in the shoulder, so to speak, and so a little bit bigger of an incision, but most people are not bothered by the cosmetic appearance of the incision in the front. And that usually heals up just great. And like I said, people are very happy to not have that bone-on-bone pain, which can be tremendously painful.
Oh, absolutely. So how long would rehab be for that kind of surgery?
Yeah, so kind of the same timeline we talk about with that as far as the ACL goes. I mean, it's a full 9 to 12 month recovery, but I always tell patients they're usually getting back to the things that they enjoy doing by around 3 to 4 months. But again, full recovery is about 9 to 12 from all the aches and pains from a surgery like that.
I know you want to just relieve as much pain as possible in the patient.
That's correct.
All right, so you can go to NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine. You can see Dr. Brett Meeks there. And tell everybody where you're located, sir.
Yes, so I practice out of Medical Park 1 off of Jesse Jewell in Gainesville. I see patients there about 2 to 3 days a week. And then also I practice in Dawsonville off of 453 in our location there as well. So happy to see anybody that needs their knee or shoulders looked at.
Well, looking forward to it, Dr. Meeks. Thank you so much for being with us. We got much more for you coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Now, more of the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM.
And wrapping things up on the United Community Halftime Report here on 97.5 Glory FM here at halftime at the Brickyard North Hall on top of Dawson County, 21-0. Is that really the big difference? You can talk about a lot of times, you mentioned the World Series a little earlier about, you know, big plays. A pitcher could throw a pitch, you know, and then get a home run taken off him real quickly. Here's been just those three big plays for North Hall.
Exactly. And honestly, the first, 4 minutes of the game, North Hall just took advantage. You know, three plays and two touchdowns right off the bat in the first 2 minutes, and then they got one more late in the quarter there, make them 21-0. And all realistically, the way that Dawson County played the first couple of minutes, they had to get it together in a hurry. And Coach Sid Maxwell did a nice job making sure they weren't fumble fingers after that. They started controlling it.
Well, you look at what happened. North Hall gets the opening kickoff, and Ty Kemp goes all the way to Dawson County 34.
Yep.
First play, you get a 33-yard pass play to Cole Cable down at the 1 yard line. Then Carlton gets a 1 yard run for the first touchdown of the ball game. And then three and out goes Dawson County. Trojans come back. And then on a 78-yard run play by Luke Jenkins, he fumbles going into the end zone. And Parker Carlton picks up the loose ball and gets the touchdown for the Trojans. 9:05 to go in the first quarter. It's score 14-0, and lead 21-0 here to start the second half.
And Walker Vining will kick it off to Dawson County. He's been kind of pooch kicking. He kicks this one a little bit longer this time. Drives his man back to the 10, to the 15, the 20, the 25. Finds the same turn to 30, 35. Swerves around the guy to the 40, 43-yard line. Wow, good job there by number 34 for them. Nate Grizzle got it at the 10, got it back to the 42, a 32-yard kickoff return there, Gary.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room?
Yeah, on either locker room for sure.
About to see more North Hall, Coach Bender.
I was thinking North Hall because, you know, they feel like they should be up 35-0.
Yeah.
Because they just kept shooting themselves with penalties.
Exactly.
Over and over and over. And so Sid Maxwell was,
Sean Pender.
Sean Pender was not happy with that at all.
Weaver brings them out. Got McBrayer beside him. Davis Glass to the right, going to go to try to go the other way. It's a banister, and he's drugged down from behind by big number 34, Matthew Arceo, defensive lineman. First time we've called Matthew's name. He's pretty active in there. Matthew gets a tackle for a loss of about 3 yards there, Gary, knocks him back to the 40.
He was not fooled by that misdirection at all.
And Joe's thinking about the TFL there. The tackles for loss would be a big thing for the Trojan defense.
Yeah, I was looking at stats today, and you got Charlie Dow with 3.5, Cadalton Hussey 5.5. Charlie House has got 5 total tackles for loss this year, so they've been doing a good job on that area on the stat sheet this year. Going to hand off to number 24, McBrayer. McBrayer across the 40, the 45, breaks loose out to the 50, finally knocked down at about the 49-yard line of North Hall, and it'll be about 2 yards short. Got to get to the 47. It'll be 3rd-and-2 now for the Tigers.
Tanner White had a hold of him, but had to turn him loose when his helmet came off.
Yep.
But Gibbon Brayer's the leading rusher for the Tigers.
Third down and two now. Weaver looks like got four wideouts.
Yeah, one of the chain guys got a little anxious. He thought they had to push down. He had to stretch it back out.
Two on the far, one on this side, one kind of in a slot. That's Glass. Glass hops around, going to give a block to McBrayer. Got the first down and more. 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. They grab him from behind, drag him down inside the 10. Holy mackerel, how about that? McBrayer got stirred up there and pulled a man for about 4 or 5 yards. That was number 11, Charlie Dyer, all the way down to the 6-yard line. He bust a hole right in the middle of that time on that North Hall defense, Gary, and got a bunch of yardage.
And it was a huge hole, Joe.
Yes, it was.
I mean, you know, that was talking about trucks. You could have driven one through that.
Bannister across the 5, down inside the 5 to the 4, maybe the 3.
Again, they're trying to get quick plays right now, Joe.
Quick hitter right up the middle. Bannister swapped in there at quarterback, took over for Weaver. Bannister going to come back in there, like I said earlier. Offensive coordinator told us that they'd have Bannister will be playing a little bit all over tonight, and so far he has. Preston looks over to the sideline, gets the play call. He'll tell everybody what's going on, and he'll be, this time Weaver, will be back at quarterback, and Bannister will be out of the wideout. Ball's on the 4, second and goal. Bannister in motion. Weaver takes it, hands off to McBrayer. McBrayer going to get met by a host of black jerseys at the 5-yard line and pushed back. Charlie House led that rush right there. Matthew Arceo, and then I think that was number 50 in there with him,
Robbie
too.
Lee. Yep.
You had to think McBrayer would get the football there, Joe, inside the 5.
Yep, pushed him back to the 6. So his forward progress was a 2-yard loss. Third down and goal to 6 now. 9 minutes and 10 seconds left here in the third quarter.
And North Hall on top, 21-0.
9 minutes exactly now. Bannister takes the football, rolls out to the far side, wants to run. He'll throw the left-handed at the last second. Incomplete. Brings up a fourth down. Intended receiver back there, I think, was number 7, Edwards, maybe.
Well, it gets tough inside the 5.
It does.
And they'll probably go for it here, Joe, instead of going for the 3.
Nope, they got a kicker coming
on
there.
They're going to kick it. Okay, yep. Surprised me.
Yeah, they brought
the deep points.
They sent 6 or 7 of them off, and then they brought in the kicking team.
Falky will come in. He'll be kicking it, and Weaver will be holding it.
Basically, there's a point here.
Yep. Well, he's kicking it from, be spotted at the 6, and they'll hold it at the 13, so a 23-yard attempt. Actually, only a 16-yard attempt, technically. 8:49 snap, hold, kick is almost blocked. It's up all between the uprights and good. 21-3.
Got a flag. North Hall.
The flag now?
Yep.
Yep. See what happens here.
Boy, that one started hooking to the left, Joe.
Yeah, it did.
It just squeaked inside that left upright. Let's see what the penalty is now. Depends on how many downs you get. You're reluctant to take any kind of points off the board, particularly when that one looked like it might have drifted on him a little bit.
Oh, roughing the kicker.
Roughing the kicker against the Trojan, and they're saying it's going to be a first down, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it should be. It's automatic, Joe.
Half the goal down to the 3.
Yep, take those points off the board, and, put it up to 3.
Again, a mistake by the Trojans.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was what Pender was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Mistakes, penalties.
Mistakes, penalties, exactly.
You just don't give a good team a whole bunch of breaks and let them hang around.
Right. That could cost you 4 points on this one if they go in and score right here, Gary.
Yeah. Well, they had 3. Let's see.
Watch McBrayer.
First and goal at Bannister takes it, and he's going to get rolled up about a half yard behind that 3-yard line, about the 3-yard line is what they'll knock him down at, maybe the 4.
I think
second and goal.
I think Parker Carlton had him around the waist, Joe, and kept him from getting more than a yard.
They've got to go wide.
Well, the disastrous thing here is you just don't want to fumble. You know, you've taken your points off the board.
Yep.
But you got a fresh set of downs. Now, that's a whole different thing right there now. Because you got to figure, you know, you're going to be at least, and now you're back to really to extra point depth if you have to kick another field goal.
Bannister takes it, puts a man in motion, going to hand off to McBrayer. McBrayer hits a wall right there at the 5-yard line.
Oh, that's standing up.
Wow. Bunch of guys, including number 50 right there, said, no, sirree. Robbie Lee said, nope, you're going to stay back here with me, young man. Be third down and goal with the 5 now.
Yeah, the football term for that is you just bowed up, buddy.
Yep.
You just got out there and you bowed up.
7:44. Tie ball game between Oconee and Jefferson, 17 all.
And that's for the region championship, basically.
Yeah,
it really Flowery is. Branch, Cedar Shoals, all tied at 7.
Ooh, Cedar Shoals is winless.
Yep.
Ooh.
Weaver back at quarterback, takes it, looking to throw right over the middle. Incomplete. Great job there by number 5, Carter Hallwood. We call his name a lot tonight.
We have, and he came right across.
Yep.
And he didn't touch the ball, but he got in everybody's way, and they couldn't see him. So now you're going to have to try to kick a field goal again.
So he went from 3 to a possible 7 back to maybe 3, depending on what they do right here. Main thing is don't get into the kicker's face, right?
Right.
Ball's going to be spotted down.
And if you're North Hall, don't let them do some kind of weird fake or something on you so you get that 6 instead of the 3.
Ball will be spotted at the 12, so it'll be a 22-yard attempt on 7:19. Snap, hold, kick is going to be up really high enough, and it's going to be good. 21-3 with 7:14 remaining.
And we're back with more after this 1 minute timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
They were back here after the touchdown. It was... didn't happen. It ended up being a three-point field goal for the Tigers.
21-3, North Hall leads it. Falky will kick it off. Low line drive, worm burner down to the 15-yard line, picked up by Kemp. Number 2. That's going to be Jenkins across the 40, the 45, 50, 45, ran out of bounds on the Dawson County 44-yard line. Wow.
And that one backfired. Yeah, what happened
that's
was.
That's a flag at the 31, Gary.
Oh, well.
But
they may come back, but the strategy did backfire because he caught it in stride and saw a crack on the right sideline and took it off. But this one may come back. That's usually a hold or a block in the back or something. Let's see what they call.
So they did like a blocking foul would be in basketball, basically down at the waist. So I'm going to say it's an illegal block down there is what that was on North Hall. And it'll come back from that spot, penalized from the 31. And if it's 15, it'll put them back to the 16. Let's see where they roll it to.
Be their worst field position of the ball game.
Yeah, it will.
So much more you got to worry about now. Mm-hmm. You know, the blocks and the targeting and all that kind of stuff. You know, and those back in the day, that was just a good hit.
Yep.
You know.
Ball's going to be on the 16, Gary.
Safety.
Yep.
Safety is paramount. We want these boys to have fun, not get hurt.
7:04 remaining here in the third quarter. North Hall 21-3 lead. They have the ball, far hash mark on their own 16-yard line.
Boy, Dawson County kept that ball a long time, didn't they?
Three wide. Give it to Jenkins. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Finally knocked out of bounds around the 50-yard line. A 35-yard run, 34-yard run, Gary, by Luke Jenkins.
And that might have been Bannister that got him.
I tell you what, Luke is quick, isn't he?
He did.
Yeah, we talked about A.J. Jones the last 2 or 3 years, how fast he was. Well, Luke runs right in stride with him almost.
I think it might have been Rickett instead because that eight on Bannister looks a whole lot like a zero, but I think it's Jackson Rickett.
Mm-hmm.
They finally tracked him down over there, but he was off to the races. He's got that quickness, that burst for 20 or 30 yards. That's what you need in football.
Roswell and Milton, 1-point difference. Milton 21, Roswell 20 at the half. McGarvey gives off to Carlton. Carlton across the 45, brought down to 43-yard line. Tackle from behind. That time by 23, it looks like.
Yeah, Brody Eason.
Brody Eason.
6'1", 5-pound junior is Brody Eason. Listed as an outside linebacker.
Seconder, 12-7 over Lanier. If they win, they're in the playoffs, Mike tells me. This time I'm going to hand off to Carlton again. Carlton trying to get a first down. He's going to be about a yard and a half short, maybe 2 yards short. Good defense there by Dawson County. And they stopped the clock for just a moment. I don't know what that was for. But anyway, they're going to mark it. It'll be third down and 2 at the 42. Got to get to the 40, does North Hall. 6:15 in the quarter. Three wideouts on the near side. Duhall's just inside the hash mark on the far side at the 42. McGarvey takes it. Fakes the pitch. Going to hand off. Going to keep it himself. Across the 35 down to the 33. McGarvey got walloped right there, Gary. But he got down to the 33-yard line, 34-yard line, first and 10 for the Trojans.
Yeah, before Wooten hit him. But I'll tell you, Smith did a good job that time of settling it, Joe.
Yep, he did.
And it was a good fake. He kept it in the belly of the running back until he took it out and took off himself.
About 7 yards out of it. Be a first down at the 34-yard line for the Trojans with 5:45 remaining here in the third quarter. Banks County with a two-point lead on Oglethorpe County. Hand off over to Jenkins. Jenkins tries to stiff arm a guy. It's going to be a flag, and it's going to be a face mask on North Hall, I bet, because you see where his hand went up there, that left hand went up there close to the face mask on the defender there, Gary.
That's not the first time we've seen that this
year
either.
We've seen it several times, yeah. Kind of one of those calls you never used to see, but now you see it more and more because the offensive guy trying to get his hand up there.
By the way, you know, if you wondered, you know, all the years North Hall's had green on their uniforms, they still do. If you look really close, Joe,
yeah,
around the collar of the jersey,
got the green up there, yeah.
It's a green collar.
The face mask is going to be on Dawson County, so I missed that one. So the guy must have grabbed Luke's face mask. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty and push him down inside the 20 barely to around the 19-yard line. Be first and 10 for the Trojans at the Dawson County 19-yard line.
Oh, well, one more score here is huge.
Yeah, McGarvey looks to throw a little quick out pattern right there to Cable, and looks like it's going to be incomplete right there.
Threw it a little low.
He did. Cable had to squat down and couldn't catch it.
It was a good idea. He just straightened up and did a little flick of the wrist right there. Nobody could catch it but Cable, but he didn't catch it either.
McGarvey just a junior for the Trojans. McGarvey stands in. Jenkins ball, and he had the ball on a terrible snap. Yeah.
Oh, roll the snap back there. It was end over end.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's not good. Not only did the snap go awry, but it took a long time to roll back there. By that time, the defense is almost catching up.
Smith had to take a step forward and the ball straight on it. That 6-foot frame took all of it to corral that ball. He's lost about 4 yards, so it's going to be third down and 14 now with 4:53. Left here in the third quarter. Smith McGarvey has it, looking to pass. Got a man open. Oh, wide open back in the end zone. Touchdown, Cole Cable.
Blown coverage, Joe. Yep. There was nobody around Cable.
Yeah, Cole took his man out, and his man kind of fell down, and Cole took straight off down the sideline. Smith found him, boom, wide open for another Trojan touchdown.
And it was no urgency at all either. Did you notice he just stood back there, kind of looked over the field nonchalantly, said, well, if you're that open, I'll just throw you the ball.
Yep, and it was wide open. Good protection. Walker Vining back to attach the extra points to this. Snap, the kick is up, and it is good. 28-3 with 4:41 remaining in the third.
And back with the kickoff in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Back here at the Brickyard. North Hall now leads it by 25, 28-3. Walker Vining with a little squib right down. Got by the second wave back there to Dawson County's number four, Maddie. Maddie got it around the 20, got up to around the 31-yard line, and it'll be first and 10 for Dawson County. With that touchdown right there, a couple things happened as ties a record, a touchdown pass for last year. As McGarvey ties that record with 18 touchdown passes, and Cole Cable keep grinding on his record with 11 touchdown catches on the year.
Yeah, it's his own record. Yeah.
His own record keeps adding to it. The famous Kane Newton is standing between me and Mike now. If he didn't bring me chicken, I'll have to run him off. Well, 435.
He's been down here with me, so I'm
going to get that with you up here. I hear you. Three wide outs for Dawson County. Throws it right over here to this side, complete over there to number two. That time, that's Chad Burnett.
Charlie Dyer just cut his legs out.
Yep.
Hit him right at the angles.
I don't know that I'd want to be on the same side. Charlie bent him over backwards one time, and then he gets him right at the ankles on that one. After no gain at all, it is second down and 10.
Charlie is 163 pounds, but he hits you hard.
He doesn't he, though? 4:30 in the quarter. 28-3. 1-2-3 wide outs, a blocking back and a running back. Throws it right over the middle, complete. Oh, almost intercepted.
Nearly picked off.
By number 11 that time, Charlie Dyer nearly picks it off.
I tell you, it was in the hands very briefly of the intended receiver over there, number two.
Yeah, Burnett.
Burnett. But Charlie Dyer, he kind of snuck his hand in there. And
yeah.
If it hadn't been had a little bit more mustard on it, I think Charlie would have got that.
Mike could have done it.
I think it was thrown hard, and it just was hard for him to finally complete that interception. But that was a good play by Charlie.
Third down and 10, three wide outs, one guy in motion. He's a halfback. Weaver back to pass, throws over here, complete this time right at it. Did he drop it? They're going to say, no, incomplete right there. He kind of threw it behind his receiver, Burnett. Burnett had to come back, and he falls on the football,
and
incomplete.
That's Dyer again, Joe, and he put his shoulder pads right on the football as Burnett got it.
Yeah.
And ruled incomplete.
The fourth down now. Dawson County will have to punt it. Bannister will come back in. They've been keying on Bannister as a receiver, so he hadn't been able to do a whole lot here in this half. Eastall trying to make a run at it. It's 31-14, Cherokee Bluff over the Vikings in the third quarter. As Cherokee Bluff came right back. It's 37-14 now. Bannister looking. He gets that rugby thing. And a long, high kick going to come down at the 35 and bounce away sideways. It'll roll dead around the 28-yard line of North Hall with 4:03 left here in the quarter. North Hall will have it. Update you on some scores. We've got Chesterton 17, GAC 6 in the third quarter. Buford 17-0 over Mill Creek. Brookwood over Norcross 17-13. Jefferson and Oconee County tied at 17, Gary.
Wow.
Flower Branch and Cedar Shoals tied at 7. East Jackson come back, ties the lead on Stevens County 24-13. Smith McGarvey with one man beside him, three wideouts. And a handoff to Jenkins. Jenkins trying to power three. He does 30, 35, 41 guy. He's dragging two guys down to midfield. Holy cow.
Drag three.
Yeah. Wow. Bannister, one of them. Number 22, excuse me, was one of them. He just kept those legs churning and went from the 27 up to the 48.
I think Wooten was one.
Wow.
Hey, Joe, say wow also is that. Now it's 24-6, Chesapeake on top of GAC. 3 minutes to go in the third.
War Eagle. First down at the 48 for the Trojans. Hand off. No, McGarvey keeps it across the 50. 45, 40. Calls it for 40. 25, 20. tries to get in the corner. Bannister pushes him out of bounds inside the 10 at the 9.
That's a nice cut by.
Yeah, Smith did a nice job. He reads that really well. That's twice he's done that, Gary. He scored on the last one. That time he looked like he was heading that way, and Preston Bannister able to get catch up with him and push him to the sideline.
He gets in the open field. He looks like a running back.
He's
or
elusive.
A wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, he's running the football.
That's one way to negate a 42-yard punt.
First down and goal at the 9. Two running backs, Jenkins and Carlton. Two wideouts. Hand off to Jenkins. Jenkins coming around this side to 5 and drug down from behind down to the 4.
Finally, tackled by number 22, Paxton Phillips, 6 foot, 190-pound junior. Free safety.
3:03 left here in the quarter. A lot of low-hanging fog in there right now, Gary.
Yeah, that's that little mist.
Yeah.
That came through. You know, one of the driest Octobers on record.
Yep.
So the first day of November, we get a little mist.
Of course we do. Second down, inside. There goes Jenkins. Jenkins down inside the 5 to about the 3. This looks like maybe the 2 right there. And we've got a timeout on the officials waving that now they'll start it.
I'm impressed with the way the North Hall runners are hitting the hole and the way they keep their legs moving. They're tough to bring down.
Now they're going the big package. Arceo's coming in. He'll come in for Hawthorne. We'll have Jenkins, McGarvey.
We're looking at a 32-point lead if they convert here and
get running clock.
Kick the extra point.
Justin Allen in the game as a tight end. Got a handoff to Jenkins. He doesn't get anything. Well, he got back down to the 1, I guess. About as far as he got. It'll be a 4th and goal now for the Trojans.
And McGarvey said, let's go.
Yeah, he's wanting to go for it.
He doesn't want it. We got somebody that's down.
Yeah, we got a North Hall player down. Let's see if I can spot him from up here.
23, maybe.
It's going to be a timeout here with the Trojans on top, 28-3 again. If they score here, there'll be a running clock in the fourth quarter.
We've got a player down for the Trojans, trainer out there checking, one of the managers, student trainers out helping.
Dr. V comes out.
Gotcha.
John Vaxivanos. They call him Dr. V because nobody could either say or spell Vaxivanos.
That's why I call during basketball, call the girls by their first name because I can't say their second name.
Well, that's his daughter's.
That is 23, Allen, Justin Allen. He came in as a blocking back. He's coming off under his own power. He got up. Kind of favored one of his legs there. Might have got it bent back underneath him or something, but he's up walking off the trainer's line. Slow down, Justin.
Let's see what you got here, Joe. You got 4th and goal from, trying to see, they put it
about
right.
The 1?
The 2, well, let me see. He's standing over it.
Yep.
The 1, I think. You're right.
4th and goal at the 1. North Hall will go for it. You got Parker Carlton in the backfield. Smith McGarvey. Got Luke Jenkins in there. Well, Cole Cable out as a wide out.
A little bit outside the 1, but that'll be what they give them credit for if they score here.
Arceo in there, the big package, the block right here. He's got 2 backs in the backfield, 1 on either side. Gives to Carlton. Touchdown, Trojans!
He was not going to be denied.
Nope. Went off the near side, and Preston.
With his 3rd touchdown of the ball game.
Preston Bannister had him up high, but just couldn't keep him out.
Yeah, Bannister tried to hold him up and couldn't keep him out of there, so it'll be the 3rd touchdown, 34-3, trying to make it 35-3.
So get ready for a quick 4th quarter.
Yeah, it should be. Running clock, right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Got Walker vining in to kick. McGarvey will hold, snap, the hold, the kick is up. And it is good, 35-3 with 2:02 in the 3rd.
And back with the kickoff in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins. You're representative to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
Walker Vining hits that one. It's going to come down. Oh, and it bounces. Did it hit the player? Nope. It hit out of bounds. It'll be a penalty and bring it out to the 35.
Thought they were kicking it to me.
But another penalty.
Luckily, though, I didn't.
Yep.
I didn't try to feel that one.
He thought he was going to. He kind of sideways tried to kick it down there to number four, Maddie. And Maddie just let it go by him.
Well, yeah, he was smart. He didn't want to touch it. Because he knew within the next half a second it was going to kick out of bounds, and it did.
So Tigers get on the 35.
First down and 10 for Dawson County. 2 minutes, 2 seconds left here in the third quarter. Unless they score in a hurry, it'll be a running clock, as Mike said, in the fourth quarter. North Hall with a 32-point lead. 1-2-3 wideouts this time. Weaver, the quarterback. Weaver takes it. Hands off to McBrayer. McBrayer trying to make something out of it. Gets about 3 yards, maybe, right up the middle. That was not McBrayer. That was 28 that time. That was Aiden Bannister. Aiden came in. His shoe came off that time. He's got to put it back on. You know, as a player, Gary, you've probably been there, and you're out there in the middle of the thick of it, and all of a sudden your shoes come off, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you got to come off the field.
Yeah.
It's just like losing your helmet, you know. I tell you what, every now and then we'll call Charlie House's name, but you know, senior, he does a good job of plugging up that middle, making people go around him.
Weaver puts his man Glass in motion, moving one side to the other. Going to hand off this time McBrayer. McBrayer, nothing. Charlie House!
Yeah, we just talked about it, didn't we?
Just talked about him, Gary, and Charlie wrapped McBrayer up and threw him for about a 1 yard loss.
Oh, that's the way you do it.
Yep.
You wrap him up like that. He had put both his arms around his torso and took him down hard.
Thomas, I'm going to start naming some seniors. Thomas Green, number 59, is a senior. Nick Sanders is a senior, number 64. Caden Moore, number 67, is a senior for the Trojans. That's all on that side of the loop. Then we go up the other. Tanner White, number 35, defensive lineman. Now they come up again as that fog starts settling in lower and lower. Now we've got an offsides on North Hall. That'll get them short yardage, third and two now after that 5-yard penalty on the Trojans. Another penalty. R.J. Dalton, number 29, senior running back for the Trojans. Gus Maldonado, number 24, senior wide receiver. McKinley Kemp, senior, number 21. Jake Clark, defensive back, number 19, is a senior this year. Charlie Dyers, we mentioned him, playing defensive back, number 11. Ethan Croft, a senior receiver. Blade Carmona, senior kicker. Third down and two. They go straight up the middle to Weaver. Oh, Bannister kept it, and Bannister gets the first down across the 45 to about the 48. It'll be a first down for Dawson County.
Jake Clark stuck him pretty good right there at the end of that run. He got the first down, but Jake got a lick on him.
Carmona, then I got Luke Jenkins, a senior, wide receiver, running back, and finally, last but very not least, zero, Charlie House, a senior for the Trojans this year. Throws it over, almost picked off and right through the wicket there to number two, Chad Burnett. Burnett caught it. That's going to say right at the, good job by the referees to get right in there since it's all over here next to the fence, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, making sure nothing weird happens.
Thing. Be my last relative to graduate from here. Charlie is a distant relative on my grandmother's side, on my mama's side.
And that'll be your last one, huh?
Yep.
Sam was my last one, unless I have some more come through a couple of years on basketball and football.
Let's see, who have I got? I've got some grandnieces at Jefferson, but they're not Glenn's, but I've got a great grandniece who's a senior this year, Gracie, and she's really pretty. And very athletic.
She got that from the girl side of the family.
Must have been. Then I got a great grandnephew coming along.
Yeah.
Maybe a football player and a wrestler.
All right. Second down about five. Hand off to McBrayer. McBrayer bounces over the line right there. He gets about 2, maybe 3 yards down to the 43. And that'll be the end of the third quarter right there. 35-3, North Hall in the lead.
And back of the running clock to start the fourth quarter after this 1 minute timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
Thank you, North Hall. This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Time to start the fourth quarter. Here's a surprise for you, Joseph. Score in Jasper. Pickens, 26. Lumpkin County, 21. Fourth quarter.
Wow. How about that? Go Indians on that. 35-3, North Hall. Should have a running clock, 12 minutes. Dawson County has it. Gives off to Bannister. Bannister, put it on the ground. Dawson County right there. Johnny on the spot. McBrayer picks it up, falls on it. They'll have the first down. With 11:50 as the clock will turn here. In the fourth quarter, that fog is going to set in there low on you, Gary, here in this fourth quarter.
Fortuitous bounce for McBrayer.
Yes.
Came up with it. Yeah.
Right into his hands. First down at the 40 of North Hall for Dawson County. Glass in motion. Weaver has it. Looking to throw right over the middle. That might be interference. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Walker Davis got in there a little early. He's begging for no, but yeah. If I can see that from up here, Walker, you got there early.
Yeah, he got there early.
Yep.
That's going to be like one of those NFL fog bowl games, isn't it?
Yeah, huh? Really. At least it's coming in the fourth quarter and not in the first quarter, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, pass interference on the Walker Davis. They'll walk it off, and it'll be first and 10 now for Dawson County.
Well, 11:23 to play in the game. We'll talk to Coach Pender afterwards. He'll be happy that they won, but he's...
He's not going to be.
He's going to be terribly happy with some of these late penalties here.
Back and forth with Banks and Oglethorpe. Banks can lead it 23-20.
Well, Banks has won one game this season. Oglethorpe none.
First down. Weaver throws it. Oh, intercepted almost.
Oh man, that was
Walker
six.
Had that one. That was pick six.
Oh yeah, it was pick six all the way, and he knew it. And now he's kicking himself.
Yeah. No, it stopped right there for a second. That's running. 11:02 and running. It must have stopped after that last thing there.
Dalton Hulls came over and gave him a low five, but Walker's still going, man, that was a pick six.
That was a pick six.
There was nobody.
Yep.
Nobody in front of him.
Cherokee Bluff 45, East Hall 14, third quarter.
They're taking something out on the Vikings, aren't they?
Stevens County 27-24 on East Jackson. They come back on that.
Joe, you never know when these scores are going to come into play and all that power stuff.
If they don't. Yep. Gary, they don't.
Well, I heard something that said somebody had to read by seven.
Bannister has it. Bannister rolls down to the 20-yard line. Still be third down now.
Pardon me, Joe. What it was, Gary, if that's a tiebreaker,
okay,
the difference in points. That's why we're trying to get a West Hall score. If West Hall defeats Monroe area by 8 points, the Spartans are in.
Yeah,
that's what that means.
That's okay. All right. There we go. Thank you for clarifying.
Got four on the carry. Third down.
It's still confusing.
6 yards to go. Ball's on the 21-yard line. Dawson County. Single setback, three wide. Oh, the ball right through his hands.
Oh, man.
He's going to have to fall on it. He does almost, but then North Hall getting back there. Been number 95 for the Trojans, Dawson Reed. A little junior defensive lineman back there to make sure he does go down on the ball. Ball's going to be back at the, 36?
Knocked it out of bounds, I think, Joe, but it doesn't matter running clock. He committed the real faux pas there, and that is to try to pick it up.
Yeah.
At that point, you just got to fall on that ball.
Joe, you tell me his names. Start looking at some of these younger Trojans now in the fourth quarter here.
Yeah. Well, still got some of the main guys in there on defense.
You may see some seniors especially.
Yeah.
Well, now that you've already secured the running clock in the fourth quarter, play everybody.
Exactly.
Because you never know when you might need these people to have some game experience. Plus, keeps your starters healthy.
Fourth down now. We're going to have a timeout called by Dawson County right before the play clock goes off, Mike.
Let's keep it right here. Just got a score from Ryan Phillips down at West Hall. in the, I think it's the fourth quarter now, is Monroe Area 21, West Hall 7.
Ah.
That would eliminate the Spartans from the postseason.
Yeah, so all of our discussion about point differential doesn't make any difference in that case.
They're still playing, though. We saw what happened last week.
Well, we did.
They scored two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes of the ball game.
Oh, so did you see the end of that Bears game?
No.
A couple of weeks ago where they throw the Hail Mary and it ricochets off of everybody down there and comes in down in the end zone? That was one of the most amazing things I had seen in the NFL in quite some time. Things can happen.
Yes, sir. They'll come back out 8:58 and a quarter. After the timeout, clock will start to turn again. They're going to try a field goal right here, guys. It's going to be a 46-yarder.
They're spotting it at the 40.
At the start of the day, yeah. It's the kick at the 43. It's
been a 53-yard attempt.
Yep, going to be short and off to the right. It'll be no good. And that'll hold them.
Well, you know, all it does is put it out to the 20 now in high school, so why not?
Yep. Might as well try it and see.
And the clock should be running, too.
Clock is running now, yes.
So, again, join me for the final score tonight at 11:05. We'll bring you all the final scores. I'll talk to coaches, reporters, and we'll talk about the playoffs and try to get some kind of idea of a picture for you as we start in 2 weeks.
What I have right now, I don't know if it's right or not, Lumpkin 29, Pickens 26.
Just at the lead, then.
I think I told you all I was at a middle school game one time, and they had a running clock. They just let it run. Yeah. It matters. Touchdowns, out of bounds, penalties, whatever. They just ran.
North Hall with the football now. Smith McGarvey takes it. Looks to throw it over to this side. Complete the Cable. Cable at the 30, 35, 40, 45. Tries to juke a guy across midfield down to the 47, 48-yard line. Then mark it to 46 is where they'll say he steps out of bounds.
You've never said this before. You're going to say, so what? In the case, you know. Be careful out there.
Yeah, you don't want to get anybody hurt at this point.
Well, that's right. And they might have got away with a block in the back that time, too, over here. But I think the officials are ready to get this one over with, too.
It may be. Number 24, Gus Maldonado, a senior wide receiver now in the game for the Trojans. Splits out wide to the near side. McKinley Kemp, a senior receiver on the far side. Over there with Ty Kemp. And a handoff to the running back. I think that was Carlton. Might have got back to the line of scrimmage. That was Parker from Smith.
At the bottom of that pile was number 54, Hunter Stroop at 5'9", 190 pounds. Hunter's a junior, listed as a middle linebacker and a running back.
This is going to end the season, though, for Dawson County. But they got a lot of guys coming back next year.
They'll have a lot. There'll be a lot of folks coming back next year.
Yeah, they're trying to get back to a break-even season overall record. They won't quite make it this year, but as you say, Mike, got a lot of juniors.
McGarvey hands off to Carlton again across the 45, spins right there and gets down to about the 41-yard line, 41 and a half. Picked up a few. It's starting to get foggy down on the field now, Gary. Like I said earlier, it's a good thing it's not the first quarter.
Well, it's not real thick fog right yet. It's thin. It might make it interesting driving home, though.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. I got to go.
You got a long way, don't you?
Yeah, I got a long way to go. I say a short time to get there. I got to get up early in the morning and head to Columbus for a wedding.
I've got to get up early tomorrow morning and drive to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
You be careful going over the mountain there, brother.
I tell you, that early might still be some fog around there. I've been on that mountain in the fog one time, and it ain't fun.
Latest score from Sardis, GAC, or excuse me, Chesapeake 30, GAC 13. That looked like Luke Jenkins carried the ball. It was that time, and Luke got up, kind of stuck an arm in there, and his offensive guys are pushing him out of the way because he started to get up, too.
Yeah, no, we don't want to get thrown out.
Stay tuned this evening. I'll be talking with Stuart Cunningham during the final score. Hopefully, maybe even Dave Bishop tomorrow morning on the Saturday Morning Sports Show to talk about playoffs for the War Eagles.
Well, you know what? I think we just got to give the War Eagles the most improved team for this season, don't we?
Yeah. Stuart Cunningham, he's my coach of the year.
He knows what he's doing.
Fourth down. Ball about 3 yards shy. They're going to run down 15-14. McGarvey looking well over here. They might just take the penalty and kick it right here. 7-6-5-4-3.
Pender saying timeout.
Yep. timeout right there with 1 second on the play clock. 5:01 remaining here in the regulation.
We'll take a timeout, too. Let's pause for 30 seconds. Back with more here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Hey, we're back here one more time as they'll end this ballgame with the running clock.
5 minutes, 1 second left here from the Brickyard. North Hall, 6-3A region champs. First time region champs since 2012, Mike. Is that right? That's correct. And Matthew Arceo in on offense. Couple of new guys in there. Justin Allen, the junior, in there. Get Parker Carlton around the 40, the 35. Got the first down to the 34-yard line. Got the first down on fourth down. And keep the clock running to North Hall with the football.
Yeah, now they're just going to eat clock now.
And Joe was just go back to our memories of North Hall here. I think about E.G. is that think how this place looked so different back 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's changed a bunch because it was a dirt field, metal or wooden bleachers way back then, Mike. Tremendously, there were only one field house on the far end, basically parking lot on the other.
When E.G. was here, it was no field house.
No field house?
That's correct.
That was early 70s because I remember us having one in later in the 70s.
Yeah. The one down here was built in 71. Okay. Before that was his last year.
Oh, a little quick out pass over on the far side to Ty Kemp. Ty's going to get wrestled out of bounds over there to 27-yard line, 28-yard line. Picks up about four, or excuse me.
Yeah, E.G. Goode was head coach here from 1967 through my freshman year in 1971. Our thoughts are with Miss Myra and Richie tonight.
Richie and Shane is with the family.
A long and distinguished life and touched innumerable lives.
From over in Alabama and played a little football and himself. Coached a little football here in the late 60s, early 70s, and principal for a long, long career.
And wind the clock finally. They stopped it. Somebody called.
They had a penalty out there, so there was going to be a penalty against Dawson County and move it up. They're still walking down to the 15, 14, 13-yard line. So it must have been a big one, whatever it was, against Dawson County inside the fog. I believe if I'm the coaches, I'm going to get in between the players as they walk across and shake hands tonight. 3:25 and running. McGarvey passes over to this side to Ty Kemp. Ty got walloped right there at the 16-yard line. And the way he got hit, he's getting up slow there, Gary.
Yeah, I think it was Brody Eason who himself left the field earlier, right? 23?
Mm-hmm. He did, yep. Yeah, Ty Kemp got racked pretty hard right there, the junior receiver. He's going to walk off under his own power, but he took a wallop right there for sure.
Yeah, then they roll the clock again. And now, if you're North Hall, you don't need to score again.
Right.
You're just burning up the clock now.
R.J. Dalton in the backfield now for North Hall.
And you got three more downs, Joe, that you can play with. So,
Justin Allen in there.
Run around a little bit. Kill some clock.
Drew Cronin in at a receiver position. So is Ethan Croft back in the game.
Well, this will be the Trojans' eighth straight win after two opening losses, so they're entering the playoffs on a high note.
McKinley Kemp back in the game. Tries to get off here, and they hand it off to number 15, Drew Cronin, and Drew's going to lose a bunch of yardage back to the – well, he fell outside the 20, but you're going to mark him down to 19 forward practice.
Rhett Folsom was left completely unblocked that time and came blitzing through the line. Folsom at 5'11", 170. Mike has another one of your juniors for Sid Maxwell there.
Flower Branch taking the lead on Cedar Shoals finally, guys, 21-7.
There you go.
Jason Tester's team. In the lead.
Seems like order has been restored there. Is that one in the jungle over there?
Yes, it is.
147. Third down, about 16 for the Trojans. McGarvey takes it, looks, got time. Throws a little fade pattern over the top. Got a man right there. Complete to Cronin inside the 5 and around the 4-yard line. Number 15, Drew Cronin, sophomore wide receiver. Beautiful pass right over his shoulder there, Gary.
Yeah. And McGarvey again showed some poise there and laid it right in there. So now you got 4th and about a foot, or are they going to go ahead and give it to him?
Looks like it's 4th and just shy of the first down, what it looks like from here.
And Joe, your point earlier, athletic director Sam Bohr has been going out with the team where they shake hands recently.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you just can't afford this time of year to lose anybody for anything.
I think things have cooled down a little bit.
You would hope so. 51 seconds. They go right in the middle. McGarvey wants to sneak it. Just get the first down, they do.
That's it.
Now, if they're smart, they'll take a knee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No need in being chippy here and trying to rub it in. There's no point to it.
Exactly. Good comment right there, Gary. No point to it right here. There's no reason to. And it's under 28. They won't have to do anything. They're going to come off the field. So there's your ball game right there. North Hall will win it 35-3.
So they go to the scoreless fourth quarter, and North Hall ends up winning their 8th game in a row. They go 8-2 to wrap up the regular season, and they'll be the number one seed from Region 6 AAA. We'll find out what seed they'll get in the field of 32 coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be back here on November 15th with the opening round state playoff game from North Hall. And the season comes to a close for the Dawson County Tigers.
Be a couple of minutes here before Gary can talk to Coach, but they're going out. And
you wonder how much longer Coach Sid Maxwell is going to keep doing what he's been doing.
He's done a super job over there all these years. That's
just
sure.
Shook hands with Pender. So.
Yep. Players keep coming across. Big long line on both ends.
Yeah, lots of folks playing football here.
And again, Joe, you go out Price Road at 136. We call this thing the Battle of 136. It's in the future because it's not that far to Dawson County High.
What a master.
Back the coach.
All right, Gary, find a good spot. Also, a reminder for you, Joe and I are with you a week from Tuesday here at North Hall, the opening game of the 2024-2025 high school basketball season, East Hall and North Hall.
All right, we have Coach Sean Pender with us now. Coach, a win is a win. It's your 8th straight, so you're going to enter the playoffs on a high note.
Oh, yeah, and I like the way we came out and ran the ball the second half. Again, we cut down on those penalties that we were doing in the first half, and we were able to establish control of the game. I think our defense played amazing tonight.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, I mean, you gave up 3 points, and they tried a long field goal there at the end. I think they just tried something because they knew it didn't matter.
That long field goal, too. What they did with the strategy was they gave us the ball in the 20.
Right.
So, yeah, that was, I think, what they were trying to do. But
coming out of this, I mean, as you get ready to go into the playoffs, is there one thing you say we really need to tweak this here or this there? Or is it just something, an overall effort?
We got to clean up penalties. Yeah. You know, I mean, the penalties are drive killers. And I think that's, you know, right now part of our game that is hurting us is, you know, just little mistakes here and there. Yeah, a holding call is going to happen every now and then. But the jumping off sides and stuff like that, getting behind the sticks. We got to clean that up.
What's your strategy now as you take some time off and get ready? Because it's kind of an unusual situation here. You got this gap.
It's definitely something different. We want to heal up. But, you know, at the same time, we don't want to get out of routine. So, you know, we're going to, you know, focus on getting ourselves better, getting ourselves healthy, work on the fundamental plays. You know, not jumping off sides and working on keeping our hands inside on certain things on snaps. Just clean up the stuff that we know that we can fix fundamentally.
All right. Coach, thank you, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
All right, thank you.
All right. There you go, guys.
All right. Great. Thanks, Jerry Gary. Good job there. Coming up next, we'll wrap up tonight's ball game. North Hall wins over Dawson County 35-3. We're back in 2 minutes on 97.5 Glory FM.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
And back here at the Brickyard at North Hall, I'm trying to get Jody Kinney's attention to help me here as Joe and I were talking here during the break. Chesty is going to defeat Greater Atlanta Christian. How about that? That's a big one for the War Eagles.
30-20 in the fourth quarter is what it's showing right now, but they should hang on to beat that.
Yes.
And Lumpkin hung on to beat Pickens 29-26 in that one.
Joey there.
Yeah, Jody's right here.
Jody, I'm going to talk with Air Live here with this standpoint. Chesapeake is ahead of GAC 30-20 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win, let's say. Lumpkin County has beaten Pickens 29-26. And with this win with North Hall over Dawson County, look at our math here right quick. Lumpkin County is going to be the number two behind North Hall.
That's correct.
All right. Does that mean – I'm trying to get all the records in my head straight here. Does that mean that Chesapeake will be a number three seed then at 5-3?
Yes, they will.
And that puts Pickens tied with GAC. Is it put tied with Dawson County too?
No, Pickens is not tied with GAC. Pickens ends up 4-4.
So that's –
they end up – well, they end up tied. They up 3-4. GAC's 4-3. So we have North Hall at 1, Lumpkin at 2, Chesapeake
at 3, Pickens at 4?
No, GAC's at 4. GAC holds on to 4. They're still 4-3.
Okay.
And Pickens and Dawson County end up at 3-4. They're out.
But there's – okay, I'm with you. Exactly. Okay, I'm with you. So North Hall's 1, Lumpkin is 2, Chesapeake is 3, GAC goes in 4.
Yes.
It's only three teams in the region go to the state playoffs.
I don't see any way, based on where they came in and the power rankings, there are too many other teams much higher
ranked. But Chesapeake goes up a lot in the rankings, probably, you know. They'll be a 32 seed probably from that standpoint now, being a number three in the region, right?
Well, I mean, we'll see how much they go up. It's really hard to gauge. They will go up simply because their winning percentage just went up, and that's the biggest factor there. They came in. Like I said, it's really hard to predict.
Because we were saying if they're number four, they're going to be number 32. See, they may go up to
They could. Now the seating doesn't matter in the PSRF. It is just winning percentages.
Exactly.
So
there's no way they're gonna play North Hall in the opening round of the state playoffs, though, right?
I don't think they could climb that high.
Because
it looks like, and I'd have to, not knowing any of those scores around the state, but if all the other expected number one seeds win tonight, that would be Jefferson and Douglas. Calhoun was already locked in.
Right.
As a region champ, Peach County was already locked in, and they were heavy favorites to win against Monroe. Sandy Creek was playing Troop County. It's a,
right.
They did get knocked off last week. That could throw a monkey wrench into things. But assuming the favorites win in all the games involving region championships, North Hall would go in at number six.
Okay. All right. You now talk with the final score tonight after 11 o'clock. Okay, buddy.
Okay.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. He got everything down correct there for you. So North Hall will be a number six seed, it looks like, right now in the field of 32. Region 6 AAA champions. And the big thing is Chesity is in the state playoffs. Flying Branch will be in the state playoffs. And so we've got – do the math here. We got North Hall 1, Chesity 2, Flying Branch 3, Cherokee Bluff 4, Gainesville 5, Lakeview County. We've got six teams in Hall County in the state playoffs, plus add Lumpkin County to the mix there too, buddy.
That's neat. Really impressed with North Hall, or with North Hall's Hall County. It's what I want to say. Hall County's football prowess this season. They're having six teams to go on be in the playoffs. That's really cool for them. And Falcons, Foul Branch 21-7. That one's in the fourth quarter. Banks County and Oglethorpe in the first overtime tied at 23. Jackson County, Habersham Central 24-14. Jackson County up. East Hall trying to get back in it, but they're down by a bunch, 52-26 to Cherokee Bluff. Stevens County come back and got the lead 41-24 over East Jackson. Second year 19-14 over Lanier in the fourth quarter.
If that score remains the same, Tony Lottie's Jaguars in their third year of existence will go to the state playoffs as the number four team in that region behind Gainesville.
Go second year. Hope they do there. Buford up 32-7 GAC behind Chesity, 30-20 at Chesity. Let's see if I've got any other thing close. Jefferson and Oconee County in the fourth, tied at 24.
Wow.
And
can you say overtime?
Yep. And let's see. That's the last close as far as proximity to us, Mike, that I have on the scoreboard here.
Again, stay tuned. The final score comes up at 11:05 this evening. Coming up next, we'll wrap things up. Top of the hour, you'll hear GNN's Friday Night Lights with Chester Proctor. And we'll talk about all the high school football scores across the state of Georgia. Thanks to Jody Kinney. He was able to really – I think solidify all the ideas we had and clarified what's going on with this region in 6 AAA, which is amazing, Joe, how this thing came out. With North Hall finishing number one, Lumpkin County finishing number two, Chesity goes in as number three.
And they were just hoping to get in at the end of the night. Now they jumped all the way up to three. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And I'll be talking with Stuart Cunningham during the final score, plus I'll be talking with Jody Kinney during the final score. I'll talk with Jason Tester, the head coach of Flying Branch, and we're going to have a big show for you. We'll talk about the playoffs in tomorrow morning. I'll be talking, hopefully, with Adam Rich, the athletic director at East Hall, about the ceremony and the special day on Sunday for Seth Vining, naming Valhalla in honor of Seth Vining. That's going to be something special there. Plus, we'll have other things to talk about tomorrow morning. We'll talk high school, college, and pro sports tomorrow morning starting at 9:05 on the Saturday Morning Sports Show. Remember, we have a live video stream on our YouTube channel at Team Glory Sports. You get a chance to see me work behind the scenes there in the Sports Center. Plus, also, we'll have college football for you coming up tomorrow starting at 12:30 with the Panther pregame show kickoff at 1, as it'll be UConn, the University of Connecticut, taking on the Georgia State Panthers right here on 97.5 Glory FM. Don't you wrap things up? Did you ever get the final stats by chance to see what the totals were?
No, I did not get them.
North Hall had a lot of yardage tonight.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get that from Jody and give it to you.
They had a lot of yardage tonight, and really big plays were the difference in this ball game. North Hall scored two touchdowns in the first 3 minutes. as they scored on a one-yard run. Yep, got it.
433 total yards, 136 rushing, 297 rushing.
Wow, 297 rushing. Had a lot of them.
Yep, you had Luke Jenkins. Of course, he had his long one, but he had 165 yards on 12 carries. Smith McGarvey, 92 on 5 carries. Parker Colton, 38 on 9. And then Smith was 12 of 16 for 141.
Wow.
Throwing it tonight. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, pretty big night. Cole Cable, 92 yards on 4 catches and a TD. And Ty Kemp, 33 yards on 5 catches tonight.
All right. That does it for us here from the Brickyard at North Hall, celebrating senior night. North Hall wraps up the regular season 8-2 as they defeat Dawson County by a final score of 35-3. For the final time here during the regular season for the entire sports team at 97.5 Glory FM, for producer Nathan Laddie, for Gary Glenn, and for Joe Gailey, I'm Mike Marfa. Stay tuned for GNN's Friday Night Lights. You've been tuned to high school football on 97.5 Glory FM.
This has been Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM. Tonight's game was brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, North Hall Tire and Wheel, Representative Lee Hawkins, and by Millie's Drapery and Decorating. Join us next week for more exciting high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. This has been a sports presentation of WGTJ Radio, your radio station for North Georgia sports.